Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your
Rogaine. Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get the part so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of the school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like,
who left the dogs out? Who?
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We have just wrapped up the Patriots June mini camp. The guys have come off the field. They've interviewed their players. They have 3 days of observations to share with you. So it's a big, big edition of PFW in Progress.
Two, since we did one on Tuesday.
And since I skipped the first one.
Well, no, but now you have a third. Well, you don't have 3 days, but now we have a total of 3 days of observations to
Fred's
talk about.
Fred's got like 22 minutes or so.
And so we'll be here until 4 o'clock in this specially scheduled PFW in Progress that we did just for the fans.
Big show today.
So that we could have all the information from all three mini camps for you. And so here we are. Everybody's here. Tacoma's in the booth because Doc is... he's too busy now.
Meetings. Got a lot of meetings?
Meetings.
Doing
really?
What? He's turning into Fred.
He likes to spend a lot of time in his office. So
the door closed.
You know what's going to happen? Now that they have big, massive, clear video boards, people are going to notice if he puts crap on it like he usually does. So he's got to work on that.
That's true. That's true. Got a lot of work to do.
This is where we need to be video simulcast so you could see Eric
do my imitation
doing his imitation.
Doc.
All right. Web
with
radio,
a dip in his mouth.
Really spot on.
And no, I mean dip, Eric.
Yes.
Web radio at patriots.com.
Like we're talking about Paul
over here. 543-7482.
Dreams one day of having a...
is the phone number. 543-7482 in case anyone missed that. Andy talking over me.
That's what he does, Fred. Yeah. That's why you can't have arguments.
Yeah. It's actually good that we did it late, though, because they threw the wrinkle out there with Chad O'Shea, Bill O'Brien, and Nick Caserio talking today, as well as Belichick and players.
Yeah, yeah.
So
first time we've ever talked.
Did you guys have pizza?
I tried.
Oh,
to
by
be
the way, Fred,
for a minute.
Speaking of that, there was pizza provided during OTAs. PR department never told us about it, not once.
Every day,
for good apparently, reason, we eat a lot.
Wow.
According to others in the media,
once again, PFW.
Yep.
Out in the cold.
Providing the best coverage of all of the
Patriots.
I was going
to say, that's okay. While the rest of the media was eating, we were actually covering the team and putting up the most information on the web.
Yep.
There you go. All right, so guys, day three is wrapped up.
I didn't hear you. I was eating. What?
The mini camp is wrapped up. Mankins.
No show.
No show.
Right.
But everybody else was here, and, you know, from what I saw today.
Except Matt Light for today.
Yeah, Matt Light.
Matt Light was
today.
Missing today.
And he missed day workout in OTAs. So.
From what I saw today.
Maybe it's a veteran.
Guys
thing.
Were upbeat. It was a lively practice.
More high intensity yesterday than today.
Oh,
I would
was
say.
That really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Much louder,
especially
yesterday.
With the coaches too. The coaches were really yelling at people yesterday, but no, not a bad practice today. But just more high intensity, a little bit more on edge yesterday. Today,
our first fight yesterday, right at the end, there was a little more jazz in the air.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
maybe the execution was better
music
today.
On the practice
what
field?
Does that mean? That I just,
right. You know, maybe the execution was there today, and they didn't need to be having all the yelling and screaming because the coaches were very loud yesterday, no question.
I do have a theory, though, that sometimes, like at certain points in training camp, there gets to be a certain day when the coaching staff, not just this team, but every coaching staff, gets together and says, we need to be vocal today. We need to go out there and yell at the players today. No matter what happens, no matter how good anybody is, we need to step up and do that. And I think yesterday might have had a little bit of a feel to that.
It could be. You know,
it happens.
You know, they script everything, and it could be even the attitude. Mm-hmm. You know, let's be hard on them today and show them, you know, that there are going to be days like this. Get ready for it.
I thought it was interesting that even Bill acknowledged the word competitive when he was summarizing his opening remarks today, summarizing the camp, that it was competitive, but we still had a teaching progression
camp.
Or whatever
it's a
he
teaching
said.
Installation camp.
I thought that was interesting to acknowledge. There's no pads on. There's, you know, it's early on, but there's still some competition going on, and that's what we talked about, well, I guess off air yesterday. The offense, defense, there's been competition.
I'd
Randy
say
Moss
only
has
place
been drumming
that there's
up.
No competition is that defensive line. Wouldn't you say?
No. I'm
there's
not
some
saying
competition there, but there's
well,
been a
I mean,
steady. There's
we
been
know
less
it's
rotating.
Gonna be, it's going to be Wark, Will Fork, and
as we like to call it, the World Wide Web.
Right.
www.
Right.
WarrenWillForkWineDominance.com.
Right. Yeah. I think we're talking more in terms of competitive nature, not necessarily for spots.
Yeah. No,
right.
I mean,
but I
offense
mean, like,
defense.
Like, the offense and defense have been really jarring back and forth. Really.
Celebrating
trying
touchdowns
to win
like it was
drills.
Right.
We actually saw. You said Merriweather kind of. Got into a little bit with
Brady,
from another field today, earlier on.
Even
in
today, you know,
might have got him in a little bit.
Very
of trouble.
Late in the practice, and this, they did this all 3 days. They did this also during OTAs. They'll break down just about maybe the last 10 minutes, and a lot of the young guys, you know, the quote unquote opportunity stuff that takes place on a different field with a bunch of the less experienced players, the guys who haven't been getting a lot of reps, because really it's always Brady and Hoyer. Getting the reps on regular offense. So Zach Robinson leads the other group on the other side. Even on that practice today, Slater caught a touchdown in the end zone and spiked it like right in a defensive guy's face. I mean, good nature, not being a jerk about it. But you can see the competitive level even in these drills. You know, everything is a competition. They're trying to win whatever it is they're doing.
And one of the guys leading the charge in that is Randy Moss.
Yes.
Oh, he's... Yes,
big time.
He's
big
first,
time.
And no one's even a close second to him leading that charge.
I get
he's
a good
been
vibe.
Unbelievably
from
competitive.
Big year from Randy Moss. I'm getting a good feeling.
All right. Well, I came out today and I saw a lot of 7-on-7. One thing I did notice: a lot of use of the tight ends over the middle.
That's been par for the course throughout this spring. Yep. I think those two guys, Gronkowski and Hernandez.
Yep.
Been getting a lot of work, especially red zone work.
Yeah, I'm high on them.
Randy Moss is just smooth as silk. Unbelievable.
No surprise there.
No surprise there. Price and Tate getting a lot of balls thrown their direction.
Yeah.
Catching some.
I don't know if you had the same observation, but I thought Price had his best day on his first day.
I didn't because I wasn't here.
Well, that's a good
I thought
point,
Price
but...
was better the first 2 days than today, I'll
yeah,
say that.
Yeah, little step back, but that's to be expected.
But, yeah, I mean, he's not going to be perfect every day, but...
I mean, Chad O'Shea was very praiseful, saying they were in contact the whole time and he did a good job working to stay up to date, but he wasn't here. It's different.
Right.
So he is playing catch-up.
Matt Light was not here today. Who was playing left tackle?
Sebastian Vollmer. So with Kasher at right and number 63 at left guard.
Dan Connolly.
Okay.
And again, there was
Rich
a lot of rotating.
Ornberger.
Though. Yeah.
All 3 days, there's been a different lower-level offensive guy, interior backup, moving around. Conley got the first day.
Yep.
He was obviously kind of bumped up today because of the absence of Light. Wendell was the guy yesterday. Today it was Ornberger working in some form with the top group at center, guard, getting some various reps there. So that looks like an interesting battle that no one will care about, but that versatile, can play center, guard, backup guy.
Yep. Linebackers, I noticed that Burgess... is pretty much looks like he's with the ones on the outside there.
We're not supposed to say that.
Oh, really?
The no. ones or the twos, we're not supposed
oh,
to
we're
use
not,
those
we can't do that.
That terminology.
Okay, when Mayo's out there,
that's how we,
right
do
out.
It.
How we do it.
Today I started the offensive line surrounding Dan Copen at center included.
Right.
But, yes, generally speaking, Mayo is next to Gary Guyton, and the two outside guys are Bantakane and Burgess. But there's also a lot of rotating. There seems to be... some run guys, some pass guys kind of down in distance.
Right.
Woods and Ninkovic seem to be together in one grouping that comes in. I don't know exactly what
but
the strength there
is. You made a point
is.
In your blog yesterday, Andy, that, you know, having guys that are focused on run or pass is tough to do in the NFL.
Damn near impossible.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it used to be 30 years ago where first two downs were runs and then you passed.
Right.
You know?
So, yeah, I if that's the plan, I think it's a plan that's destined for failure.
Yeah, I doubt it is.
You know, even if it works in week one, two, and three, all of a sudden the other teams are going to realize what you're doing
when he's
and
on the
scheme
field.
Against
right,
it.
Right.
You know, try to take you, put you in positions you don't want to be in. If that's Ninkovic rushing the passer, then try to get you to have to, you know, whatever. So that's not a good theory.
I remember back when they had, when Charlie Weiss was still here, they had Rod Rutledge and Jermaine Wiggins for a short time at tight end. And I had talked to Charlie Weiss about that. I was saying, is that something that can work? You know, can you have a pass-catching tight end and a run-blocking tight end? And he said, really, no, because basically you're dictating to the defense what you're doing, and you don't ever want to allow the defense to know.
You're playing your hand.
Based on your personnel.
Yep. So, all right, well, any other observations from today specifically?
Gronk had the play of the day, I thought.
I must have missed it.
Oh, yeah, I think
you
did miss it. It was a touchdown catch. It was in between, like, four defenders. Brady fired a pass. It was, like, a skinny post, I think. Brady fired the pass. Gronk was, like, around the goal line. He had to make a sort of a leaping, twisting catch in the air and came down with it. I thought it was a great play. And
let's play
a game. I think a lot of other people on the field, like, players felt the same way because there was a big uproar that went up after he
caught. Let's play a game called Rank the Unknown Receivers. Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, Taylor Price, Brandon Tate, Torrey Holt. In all likelihood, could all be a part of this team this year. Rank them in terms of your expectations upon a sampling of their skills.
I'm going to go Hernandez, Gronkowski, Price, Holt, Tate.
Really? Tate low? That low?
I kind of agree with Paul.
I think I do, too.
I might
put Price ahead of Gronkowski because I think Gronkowski is one of those guys that will look better with pads on in an 11-on-11 setting. I don't think he'll look as good as Price and Hernandez. He's not as athletic, I don't think, as Price and Hernandez in terms of with the shorts, 7-on-7s. I think those guys will be more impressive. So maybe I'll put Price ahead of Gronkowski based on what I've seen so far.
Not to make this all about my binkies, but I really believe the guy that I've fallen in love with at tight end is going to be like the guy I've fallen in love with at safety. James Sanders gets overshadowed by Brandon Merriweather, despite the fact that I think Sanders is a good, solid football player. Merriweather is the pick guy running around. I think it's going to be the same way at tight end. I think a lot of the stuff, Paul's right, that Gronkowski will do, some will be blocking, some will be 6-yard catches that don't wow anybody but move the chains, whereas Hernandez is going to rumble down the sideline, stiff arm a guy, make a big play.
But I think
won't necessarily be telling which guy's the better all-around player to help the team win.
But I think Gronkowski is going to make some catches that people are going to say,
oh, yes, he can play.
I don't think he's going to be he's not going to be nearly as athletic.
There was a play today that Hernandez caught maybe a 10-yard out and turned it upfield, and there was like two guys coming over in pursuit on defense, and you know, they're wearing shorts, obviously. They're not hitting. He kind of sped up, then did a little stop and go, kind of cut in between them. Andy turned around and said, I can see him taking one of those for a really big play this year. And then he actually followed it up by saying, that's just practice, and Gronkowski might have looked the same doing that in practice, but I think Hernandez could do that in the game. I think Andy's right. I think he has a different kind of athletic skill set than Gronkowski, and I think Gronkowski will look better when you're talking about everything. Mike Reese, our favorite guy, right? We were talking about Gronkowski specifically before practice, and he had written something that he felt like Gronkowski maybe wasn't getting as many reps with the quote-unquote ones. And I think he used a drill they do late in practice, which is kind of a no-huddle, red zone, situational kind of thing. He's usually not in that. Hernandez is always in that. I think they're different kinds of players. I think in a no-huddle setting, I don't think necessarily that Gronkowski is one of the guys that will be in that. I don't think it's an indication that he's a backup and is behind. I think he has a different skill. It's almost like they play a different position.
Right.
Even though they're both tight ends, I think that really there's not a ton of similarities there in what they're going to be asked to do.
So Hernandez may have bigger plays? Who will have more catches?
Hernandez. Oh, Hernandez probably will, because he'll be in more passing situations. Gronkowski will be asked to block a lot more and running.
Who will
running
have a bigger
plays.
Impact, or who could be a more crucial part of your offense?
I think if you have a balanced offense, Gronkowski will play a larger percentage of snaps.
Yeah.
And block and do everything you'd ask for an all-around tight end.
I know it's impossible to really tell how they're doing, but does it look like Maroney is your number one back going into the season at this point?
Not a lot of focus on the run
game.
Sure,
but no.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll be a committee thing. You know, one game it'll be Maroney, one game it'll be Morris, one game it'll be Taylor.
Be a collaborative effort, right? Bill O'Brien said with the play calling and the overall coaching, it'd be the same in the backfield, a collaborative effort.
Yeah. And Bodden and who are your outside corners?
Butler.
Butler? Yeah.
No questions there. That's one position where I will stake my life that the opening day starters will be those two guys.
Okay. Now, Paul, going back to your ranking, so you really see more from Price at this point than Tate? Caught him with his mouth full.
Rare time, Paul speechless.
Yeah, I do. I think that I think Price looks a little bigger to me. I think he is smoother. I think he looks like he has. I'm really interested to see Brandon Tate as a returner, though. I think he can. That's an area that I think is sort of flown under the radar a little bit. That they lacked in the return game last year. They had to put Welker back there on punts. Finally, about halfway through the season, they finally started getting something. He was terrific at it. But I think that's an area that they could use an upgrade. I think Tate could be a guy that could contribute that way. I'm not sold on him as a receiver yet. I need to see more. Now, I'm not certainly not sold on Taylor Price either. But from what I've seen, what little I've seen, I think that Price is more athletic and smoother. He just looks the part to me. I said to Andy today, does he remind you a little of David Givens? I think he's a faster, more athletic-looking David Givens. Now, I don't know if it's because, you know, they're both kind of the lighter skin, and they 6 foot. They're about 6 foot.
About 6 feet.
Givens was light. Was 6 foot, right? Or 5'11".
Yeah, he was about 6 foot.
Like physically, they look very similar to me, and I don't know if that's why I think that their games. And I was talking to Mike Reese about this. He brought that up yesterday to me too. About Givens, and I got to give him the shout-out for that. I can see it. I can see some similarities in that game. I think Givens was more physical and Price is more, maybe more athletic, faster anyway.
I just hope he has.
But I think there's some similarities to their games.
I hope he has a better career as a Patriot than the last guy who was drafted and wore number 17 at that position.
I guarantee he will. Of course, I guaranteed the last guy would make the Pro Bowl.
You did.
For his rookie contract.
And back to your point about Tate as a returner, he's been getting consistently the first opportunities to return kicks in the kickoff return team drills and stuff. There's usually
with your guy Slater.
Slater
Fred,
as his off guy. Edelman's been getting a lot of run there as well. And Butler. So there's been sort of that consistent rotation of those guys.
Yeah, I think they'd really, as far as punt returns, I think they'd like to have Edelman back there.
We were talking about kickoff returns.
I know.
But
but as far as punt returns, I think they'd like to have Edelman as their punt returner.
Yeah, I mean, who else?
I don't know who else.
You're not going to have Welker. I mean, Kevin Falk is no longer ideal.
Right. But kick returner is up for grabs.
I think that you
couldn't
see
could Tate
a punt
maybe
returner.
Do both?
I'd like to see somebody who I deem a little more explosive than Edelman. Like, you know, I know you have to have the sure-handed guy. But if we could find a sure-handed guy who had more, a little, I think Tate and Butler are more explosive. Yeah, I know. I just don't think he's going to do that at a rate.
Was that in a kickoff or a punt, though?
I thought
that was
a punt.
It was
a punt.
Yeah, against the Eagles. The Eagles.
Plus, let's not forget, he could be a very important factor in your offense.
Well, that's
and divvy duties up as you try.
Right. But Welker returned a lot of punts last year.
And I would deem that not ideal.
Right.
No, but, you know.
Give my guy that
break.
Catches 126 passes having to go back and put his life on the line.
Him and Kevin Falk, so a couple of guys who are pretty.
They did that because they haven't had anybody
they haven't had
with
anybody.
Any.
Right.
Bill can't put any stock in the ability to catch the football. That's clearly the most important thing on punts to him. I mean, if it were Vince Wilfork who did the best
catching
job catching it, he would put Vince Wilfork back
right,
there.
Right. WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
Can I just point something out real quick? Paul, did you notice when you happen to dare to address skin color in any way, your liberal boob of a producer, like, arched his eyebrows and, are you talking about Mexicans or something?
No, but that's what
happens.
God
forbid we say what a guy looks like.
That's what happens.
I mean, literally, it was like we were going to bring up the immigration thing again.
You can't talk about a guy's characteristics in terms of what they look like.
A guy can be fat and he can be jacked, he can be this, he can be that, but he can't have darker skin or lighter skin. Why? It's a fact. Jack?
Visually, I think they look similar.
But this boob back there wants to, you know, file a racial protest.
You
or
made
something.
The exact same look.
Because I knew you were going
to. I did notice, though, that Taylor Price needs to go with the bald look, because for a guy his age, his hairline is really receding.
You spend 20 minutes at practice and you're talking about guys' haircuts. Really?
So he just needs to go for it and get rid of it.
Like Paul.
Speaking of people who say ridiculous things, remind me, I have a Chris Ferreira story from your trip to L.A. that we haven't talked about on the air yet.
I have a quick, relevant Chris Ferreira story. He's deemed Brandon Tate will not have in any way a productive NFL career because he didn't catch enough passes at the college level, despite missing basically three quarters or more of a senior year with the knee injury. And he doesn't understand that generally college receivers kind of evolve, you know, 20 catches, 30, right. You know, and then boom, big year, NFL.
Right.
He's an idiot.
All right.
Can we fire him?
508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Can we get into your little mishap in the parking lot? Can we get into that, too?
Well, we'll get into that. But right now, on the phone, John in L.A. John, how you doing?
I'm good, Fred. But why the hell didn't you call me when you were in L.A.?
Well, I was there for basically a day, and it was made up of all meetings, and we ended up going to the Pink Taco.
He doesn't like
you,
John.
And he didn't want to see you, basically.
No, yeah. I would have loved to see John.
Here's a bush. Here's Fred beating around a bush.
But, John, I thought you were like in New Mexico or something.
John in L.A. Couldn't be any clearer.
In Albuquerque because they were shooting my episode. But until then.
My episode. Excuse me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I'm a dummy. Should have called you.
Did you get canceled yet?
No. We seem to be getting good news about next season and maybe even the season after.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, season after.
That's great.
Now, does that make a significant difference in your paycheck?
It extends it.
It keeps it coming.
The consistency of it.
In case our listeners don't know,
there will be
John
one.
In L.A. is one of the writers for In Plain Sight.
He gave up a lucrative table waiting career to write for a television program.
Andy's always, you're always very quick with that.
I am.
Come up with it. I'm happy to have gotten through to you guys. I hear that you're talking wide receivers today.
Yes.
Among other things.
How does Taylor Price look besides having a receding hairline?
Paul thinks he's got
light skin.
I thought his best day came on his first day.
I thought
day.
He looked good. I think he looks. I thought today
and
he
had
a little bit of a struggle
today.
But Andy pointed out that he is behind because he hasn't had as many practice reps as these other guys because he was dealing with the academic thing with Ohio. I think he's shown an athleticism. I know he's only 6 feet. He looks a little bigger than that to me. I don't know if that's, you know, just because most of the other receivers are small, than Moss.
To me, Tate looks bigger than Price. Ooh. No?
I don't think so. I think Tate's a smurf.
Yeah.
Tate's I don't know what short. The difference is in their sizes, but I think Tate is clearly
it doesn't matter what the roster says.
I was listening to an earlier episode today, and I was wondering if you guys marked tape where Eric said that that a rim shot is even better than I don't know what it was, but it was Eric referring to a rim shot as a very positive thing in his life.
Well, you know, small goals.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, enough of talking football. Is there any way that you can write us into an episode, like where they're making fun of somebody for listening to a dorky podcast on the internet, and they'll call it PFW in Progress?
I feel that there's no way that won't happen.
Nice!
Wow. I love doing that. The episode I did... we included all three of Mary McCormick's college roommates.
Nice.
As characters, not only in the script, but with full names said out loud during the episode.
Wow. Oh, wow. Then I want an Andy Hart. Can I get an Andy Hart?
Absolutely. No question.
Thank you.
Wow. I'll just settle for
you'll have to tell me when it's going to be on.
If you get our names on there, and that's it. You will be the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
You won't be in the Hall of Fame. You will be the Hall of Fame.
I'll just settle for Jake Steele. You don't even have to do my real name.
Jake Steele.
It's got to be your real name.
Andy, Paul, and Eric want the real names.
Yeah, right. I want people to know it says Andy Hart.
But Jake Steele would be funny.
He's talking about me, you know. Jake Steele, that's me.
Your name's not Jake Steele. I don't know. Jake Steele.
Well, maybe there could be a whole episode about a porn star who has to go into the witness protection, you know?
And he uses Fred Kirsch as the name because his real name was
right.
Jake Steele.
That could be a good one.
I'll be a porn star. I'm fine with that. Andy Hart, porn star.
All right.
That sounds like a deal.
All right. I look forward to it.
I'll write it. You can take credit for it, John. I'll give it to you.
The PFW way. Ask Paul.
Yeah, right, you take credit for everything.
Have a good week, and Eric, have fun with the rim shot.
All right, John in L.A.
Good. It does sound a little dirty, even though it's not.
It does. I know.
Rim shot? That's a word in the Urban Dictionary.
What does it mean?
It means
Should
I tell him?
Yes.
Should you?
Well, it's...
I'm always curious as to how you're going to come out with these.
Well, you know what?
You can come with anything between the most vague and exactly what it is. Go ahead.
How do I picture this? You can do the same thing to a person on the other side. So.
On the other side of what?
Unfortunately, he went with the most vague.
You know how Paul likes to eat out a lot when he goes? Okay. Well, that's what this is, except you went in the back door.
Oh.
Whoa.
Right?
Is toss that, salad?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Is that a correct...
You could do the same thing on the other side.
I could always eat your salad.
That's one we haven't used in a long time.
We got a rim shot.
Give yourself one. There you go.
All right.
Well, that'd be hard to do.
Good to hear from John. Damn
near impossible. And if you could do that, you'd be doing the other thing, too. I mean...
If you could do that, you're in Cirque du Soleil.
you'd never leave your house.
Actually, I think it'd be Cirque du Soleil.
508-543-7482. If you do it yourself, are you gay?
If you're a man, yeah, because it's man on man.
Is it? Okay.
Well,
men to men.
But
we need
a
Bill Raftery.
No,
that's gay too. Woman on woman is gay too. That's the way it works. Isn't that the definition of gay?
You're the one that said if you're a man, it is.
Speaking of gay, can you get me a sound bite? My gay song of the summer is going to be Katy Perry's California Girls. Can I get a little clip of that?
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. I've got a lot of emails.
So read them. Let's talk about rim shots.
Let's see.
Do it on the other side. Like, you're right. It couldn't have been much vaguer. It's the. That would be vaguer. But otherwise, no, you couldn't be any vaguer. I was hoping, Paul, he was going on the
today's
other
lunch
end.
Is brought to us from Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
Where's NASA? I hope you enjoy the lunch. I heard you whining Tuesday about not having lunch bought for you for a while. And figured it was my time again. I really get it.
Is there a little tone in that again?
No, I'm putting the tone in.
You're putting the tone in?
He should not be buying us lunch.
Hell, he shouldn't.
No.
Didn't the government just put like $2 billion aside to pay for all these NASA employees to get new jobs when NASA goes out of business?
I don't know. You guys keep me entertained on a weekly basis and give me something to look forward to while doing what at times is a boring job designing parts for spacecrafts. So it's the least I can do for you. I can just see the next, you know.
Isn't the space program done?
No, now they're doing a lot of unmanned stuff. They're going to focus on unmanned stuff.
So does he still have a job?
Like Predator drones in the war.
Well, things like that.
Kind of like that.
Right.
Only out in space.
But the space shuttle's done, right?
Yeah, the space shuttle program is
phased out, yeah. But there's going to be private companies as well that are running. Isn't Richard
Brandt
or whatever?
Now that we have a chance to be written into a Hollywood script or a TV script, maybe with Ian, we can have a chance to have our podcast be in a spacecraft.
Oh. Nice.
So it'd be great, like all our listeners who have their fingers in different aspects of life to weave in PFW and progress.
Where would we put the pin?
Yeah, it's true.
We'd
have to get like a solar system model and
two-dimensional
put a pin
map
like, somewhere out in,
yeah.
in a three-dimensional
and,
need.
Anyway, Ian also says
Paul
I'm really
having
looking
fun
forward.
With today's show. Just going about his business, not interacting at all.
He's serious business. He was eating. He had a whole calzone he had to wolf
down.
Don't
you remember the guy who said usually one of you guys doesn't take part in those arguments because you're stuffing your face?
But I ate my calzone,
that was
too.
Me in the beginning.
What's he got over there?
I'm really looking forward to this upcoming season, hoping all the additions on both offense and defense work out. I figure the offense should start out of the gate pretty fast, with the defense hopefully catching up about mid-season. Well, guys, that's all I have for now, so enjoy and keep those good shows coming, even the one like last week with Eric and Paul. Wow. Okay.
And Cutie Patrudy.
Kamani writes in, wants to know, Eric, did you get paid for your Vegas portraits?
Not that it's any of his business, but yes.
Oh.
You'll never make it in the Bill Belichick school. You said you weren't going to answer, and then you answered.
I thought I detected a little bounce in your step recently. Little flush.
We knew it wasn't the other thing.
Some flush with cash. Now, are you one of those guys like from Providence that walk around with a big rolls
a big
of
wad of no
with a rubber band around it?
No.
No? You don't do that?
No, sir.
Okay.
Gotta be prudent.
Prudent?
Yep. We live in harsh financial times right now, Fred. We need to be
that's true. With a walk out on the horizon.
Right.
With an unemployment check on the horizon.
Can't go around flaunting your newfound windfall.
Right.
However much it is.
Now, we talked, Makins hasn't been here for the whole thing, and everyone, you know, that listens to this show probably knows the situation. I uncovered a little known fact, or maybe it is well known, I don't know. But
Cliff Clavin over here.
You know, they
little known fact.
Apparently, what they're looking for is this Jari Evans contract. He's the highest paid guard in the NFL. Did you know that except for the quarterback position, no
left tackle.
No, except that's not the answer. Except for the quarterback position, no Super Bowl winning team until the Saints now has had the highest paid person at his position on their team, except for quarterback. That's a fact. Tells
no,
you a little bit
no something. Team has had the highest played person at his position league-wide.
League-wide. Any Super Bowl winning team. League-wide. Super Bowl
except
winning
for the Vinatieri quarter. Wasn't the highest paid kicker.
What's that?
Adam Vinatieri wasn't the highest paid kicker.
Not at the
I think
time.
It might have been Vanderjerk or one of those
wait
guys.
Wait a minute. He wasn't the highest paid kicker when he went to the Colts?
When he won with the Colts.
Oh, when he won with the Colts. That's a good point.
Yeah. I don't think he was.
Who the hell was paid more than him?
I'm pretty sure he was, but I would also say that sounds like one of those things that
offense or defense
might be just kind of an awkward kind of fact, but are you trying to say that there's a cause and effect?
Yeah. I'm just trying to say that it's not all
so
about
the Saints
having
can't win this year because they have the highest paid guard in football?
That's probably correct.
But, no, Saints,
but I'm just saying that you know
what I'm saying, it's not a cause and effect
for those people.
And it's probably going to be right for those that they won't win because they will have the highest paid guard.
For those people,
and they're not that good.
For
they're
those
not a dominant
people
dynasty.
Are always right. Saying you have to have the highest paid players to win Super Bowl. That's just not the fact.
No, people say that you have to pay your talent.
Right.
They don't say you have to have the highest paid anything.
But it doesn't really
which
matter.
Which is my point about the whole cause and effect thing. I'm sure there are plenty of Super Bowl winners who have had players among the highest paid at their positions.
Sure, but this is the first time.
It's sort of a technicality.
This is the first time, other than the quarterback position, that a Super Bowl winning team has had a highest paid player.
But it's
position.
Not even true. He became the highest paid player after they won the Super Bowl.
So well, that, or never coming off true. The Super Bowl, you know. So it's the first
and,
time.
And I also say, you know, Peyton Manning wasn't the highest paid quarterback when they
I
won
said
the Super Bowl.
Aside from the quarterback
I'm sorry,
position.
You did say that. My bad.
Aside from the quarterback that. Position.
Okay.
Now, speaking of quarterbacks, and I'll bring this up, and Paul, you're probably going to disagree with me.
I don't disagree with the
no,
thing
no,
that you just
Thursday.
Said.
It's Thursday. No, it isn't.
No, but this is something that's no, bugged me ever since they started saying it, and ever since, you know, Brady's contract started coming close, you know, that last time he took a team-friendly contract, and he won't be doing it this time, and it's all, they're setting it up like it's going to be this, like, really contentious, you know, negotiation. Like, Brady's really going to stick it to the Patriots this time because he didn't last time. And I think that, first of all, I've never heard Brady ever complain about his last contract. Have you?
No, he has other people complaining.
But
for
I've never heard Brady complain about it. The second thing is, you know, people complain, compare him to Manning, which, you know, they're the two best quarterbacks. It's fair to do that. But you got to remember, you know, this occurred to me that when Manning played out his, you know, his first contract, he played the whole thing out. He was the number one, first round pick.
Overall pick.
Yep. Played out that contract. Then the Colts franchised him, and he negotiated a blockbuster new contract.
Right.
When Brady extended his contract, he still had 2 years left on it. So he's coming at it from a whole different perspective than Manning is. You know, he's looking for the security a little sooner. And didn't have, you know, the basis from what Manning came, you know. So it's not fair to compare what Brady did to what Manning did.
Right.
You know?
I think he had reason to ask for more because he had never gotten
the
initial
payday. Manning had the confidence to play out that contract, wait.
But Manning had also already been paid $45 million or whatever the number one overall pick.
Exactly. Brady actually extended his contract twice.
Right.
The second time
and the Patriots did it because they were smart. They had a franchise quarterback who was being paid like a backup.
And the second time he did it with 2 years left. So,
but who do
you
think
now this time he's going to have a new
contract? Are you sure on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The second time there was 2 years left?
Yeah.
He wasn't entering the year before
2 years left on his contract. And they extended it.
I thought he was I thought they extended him when he was set to be an RFA in 2002.
That might have been the first time.
Yeah.
And then he signed a four-year deal, and he signed again in 2005.
The second time he had 2 years left.
Maybe it was a five-year deal.
But regardless.
Maybe I'm missing that. Maybe it was a five-year
deal. He's not coming at it from the same point that Manning was coming at it.
Why was there so much talk at the Super Bowl about his contract then?
Which Super Bowl?
The one you weren't at.
Brady's contract.
Literally every day the press conference would have some discussion of his contract.
Brady's last contract was set to expire in 2006. He signed a new one in 2005.
So he had 1 year left in his deal. So that was
he
right.
was entering 2005 though, so we had 2 years left.
But it's the walk year. It's like if they had signed him last year, he had 2 years left. But you're going into that off season. It's basically the same thing they didn't do with Asante Samuel.
He signed it in May 2005.
Yes.
But that's the point. He had 2 full years to play before his contract expired, yes. And they extended him.
I think that's when you extend guys of that caliber.
Okay, fine.
That's the norm.
But he's still coming at it from a different perspective than Manning is.
But he should have wanted more.
Right, he's underpaid and just as good.
Manning
has always been underpaid.
Manning
and
was the number one pick of the draft. But, he already got the money.
But you got to remember, I'm looking at it from Tom Brady's perspective, okay? He came into this league in a whole different situation than Peyton Manning.
Right.
Okay? And maybe he's thinking, and, you know, now I'm sure he's got a different mindset. But at the time, you know, I didn't have this. Now I've got it. It can easily be taken away from me. So I better get,
I totally agree with you on the first part.
He
had three Super Bowls.
That's when he won the first Super Bowl, and he hadn't made any money. Now I'm looking for security. He got that in 2002.
Right.
I agree with you. Rather than hit restricted free agency or any of that, he avoided that.
And so did the Patriots.
And it worked out for both teams.
Right.
For both sides, rather. But the second time around, now he's a three-time Super Bowl champion who's really still never been paid the big bucks.
Okay, but let me ask you a question then. Why wouldn't he then do what Manning did and just, I'm going to play this out.
Well,
why should I sign now?
If you want me to answer the question as to why I think he did it,
yeah.
Because I think he really bought into the whole, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and we need to take less for more. It's about the right 53, and you can't have a quarterback eating up this percentage of a salary cap. And then they turned around, and this is his, you know, what he has had sort of attributed to him. I will agree with you, Fred. I haven't read direct quotes where he has been saying this stuff, but I've seen people write things attributed to him that he was not happy that Deion Branch and David Givens were then allowed to walk.
But
the year after he, quote unquote, took less,
right?
His receivers were then allowed to walk, and he pouted that whole season.
Well, I know, but do you think, and people made it seem like, well, I took less and now you got rid of them. They're speculating. He just might have been pissed that they got rid of the guys that he liked and trusted as receivers.
But
it may not have anything to do with his
contract. I think you're being a little naive if you don't think they were correlating.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
And
my point is, I don't think.
And he took less.
Right. He left money on the table and players then left because of money.
But again,
basically, he's saying, this is why I didn't hold you up for $100
million. I think that he did pretty well with 2 years left coming from where he did. And I don't think that he went in and said this. I think it was friendly to both sides.
It was.
And I don't think that, you know, people want to write and they want to, you know, cause this,
he didn't,
you know,
get
this
fleeced.
Rift that,
I agree with you. You know, he didn't get fleeced. You know, it was friendly to both sides.
You know, he really got taken.
I'm with you, Fred. But the context
in which they write it, they want the reader to think that, you know, this time he's really going to stick it to the Patriots.
And maybe he will.
I think we're arguing two different things.
I guarantee you they're going to get a deal with Brady, and it's going to be a big one. Make no mistake about it. But it's not going to be any of this in the paper. I need to be this. I need to be that.
I don't think Brady will do that.
Yeah.
I think he's too smart to do that.
Or even people talking for him.
I think we've already seen people talking for him.
I will bet you.
We've already seen Michael Silver write something that would seem to be
for him. I will bet you that the Brady contract becomes more contentious than the Manning contract becomes more contentious.
I don't think either one of them are going to become very contentious. No. I really don't.
Well, I didn't.
I think they're both going to get done.
Remember the first time, the first time Brady signed. I keep saying Brady. Manning signed his second contract. I mean, that came down to the wire, and there was some stuff going back and forth when everyone thought, well, Manning's a Colt. He's going to be a Colt forever.
Yeah, it was a fait accompli. I never once thought it was.
I didn't either, but there was some stuff in the paper. It was.
No, I don't remember.
There was some bad blood.
I'm not saying there wasn't any stuff in the paper, but I don't ever remember anybody honestly thinking Manning wasn't going to stay there.
Yeah.
And you're leaving.
And I don't
think
anybody really thinks that Brady's not going to stay here.
Well, I think the people writing in the paper want that.
Why do you say that they think they're trying to cause trouble?
Because they're writing that their franchise quarterback isn't signed? No, that's not what they're writing.
No, but I mean, you're saying they're trying to cause trouble. You know, it's a major story.
Manning's a major story right now, too. It was a team-friendly contract, and it won't happen this time and all this stuff.
I agree with you wholeheartedly that characterizing his last deal as strictly team-friendly is not accurate. It was team-friendly, but it was also friendly to him. He got a lot of money. He got a lot of guaranteed money quickly. I think it was $31 million in the first 2 years or 3 years.
Something like that.
And it was actually very similar to Manning's first 3 years. Manning's was backloaded. Brady's was front-loaded, if I recall the structure. And you'd rather have the front-loaded as the player, obviously. Yeah. So I think the characterization that that Brady took, you know, took far less. And look, I've said it, but it's that we overblow that. It's not necessarily a team-friendly deal. It was friendly for both sides. I don't think this deal, however, will be friendly to both sides.
I agree.
This deal will be Brady friendly.
Oh, absolutely.
It will not be team
Brady's
friendly, or I don't think Brady's going to sign it.
Brady's going to get what the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL should get. You know,
right. And I don't think he'll. I don't think this will be a team friendly deal.
My point is, I don't think Brady is stewing over his last contract and is entering this contract with a chip on his shoulder.
I really don't. I don't either. I think
he's entering this contract.
But you really think he's entering stuff, Fred?
What's that?
Particularly locally, that would indicate that Brady is stewing and has a chip on his shoulder?
I read it today. That's what got me off.
Set you off is the phrase.
Whatever.
You know who Fred
but I,
NCI, I think it was,
what did I miss? Because the only thing I read about Brady today was his union quote about
the part I think you're leaving out, Fred, is the union. He's clearly aligned himself as a union man.
Well,
and I think that's part of
that
getting
was in one of those stories,
what the top quarterback deserves.
It was the whole, it was painting the picture of now he's a union guy.
But
last night,
I think that's legitimate analysis.
But I know it was painting the whole picture that it's not going to be easy this time. You know, he's going to
But that's legitimate analysis. What part of that is incorrect?
It's
already shown to not have been easy. Otherwise, it would have been done by now.
Fred, last time he was clearly a Patriot. First and foremost. Now I think he's Tom Brady, first and foremost. Second, he's a NFL player, assistant rep, and union guy. And third, a Patriot.
Right.
The Patriots have moved down the ladder a little bit.
But you, knowing Brady, he's doing the whole union thing for the other guys and not for himself.
And that's what got me off.
He's leading, he's leading by example.
Wow. Oh, my God.
You know, he's that kind of guy.
He is.
He's that kind of guy.
Oh, boy.
He's thinking of others.
Okay.
I mean, how often do you see the superstar?
If by others you mean Giselle,
John,
and everyone, Benjamin,
how often,
I agree.
How often in sports, let alone the NFL, how often in the NFL do you see the superstar of the team as the union rep?
I have no idea.
It's not often.
He's the alternate union rep.
I honestly couldn't tell you who one other union rep in
it's
the league
usually
is.
A guy.
That's a lie. Kevin Mawai. Is he in the league?
No.
No. So technically,
and
I couldn't tell you one
he's
other
not
guy.
In the league because he's a union guy.
It's usually a guy who, you know, maybe has aspirations to become a lawyer someday or management or whatever.
Politician?
You know, or a yeah.
Oh.
Could be. It's rarely the superstar. Usually the superstar's got his. And he has no interest in helping out others. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, you go through the list. It's usually, a starter, you know, a lot of times.
I would say to you it's rare for a quarterback because I think quarterbacks have a lot of demands on their time.
Yeah.
So that I would agree with you. The whole caliber of player, I have no idea if you're right or not.
Usually superstars have no interest in it because they got theirs. Their mind isn't thinking.
I love how not only he makes a blind assumption that no other superstars are. He not only does that without knowing.
I didn't say no other. I said rarely.
You don't know any of the other 31 teams who their union reps are, but you make the assumption
that
none of them are stars.
Troy
and
Vincent
then,
considered a pretty high profile
not
player.
Not only he's willing to say that, he's willing to say
the
because they've already got theirs.
That was Donovan McNabb. So
you're saying the best player on the team is rarely a union rep.
Right.
Okay, that's probably true. Just
and you've
by,
eliminated
just by process of elimination.
Quarterbacks are always the superstars.
You know, so that's the way it is.
I couldn't tell you one other union rep. I honestly couldn't.
Well, you remember what Mike Vrabel was?
Yeah, here.
Okay.
I knew ours. Larry Isso was.
Right.
Ted Johnson.
Mike Compton was.
What are they all
Johnson
in common?
Was.
Right.
Ex-Patriots.
Not here anymore.
Run
you know,
out of town.
Back in the day, I think Pete Brock might have been a union rep. I'm not sure.
That's before my time, Freddie.
You know?
So. How do we spiral so...
Yeah, I don't know.
Of course, on the show.
This feels like the end of the last show.
But no, it was.
But no one's talking over each other, though.
But the you know, the way it was framed and it's been framed, you know, especially now with the union rep that.
But
know.
It's legit, I think, Fred.
I think people are presenting facts, and you're perceiving that as people are trying to stir up trouble.
I think people they're trying to make it they're, so that people think Brady has is upset. With
they're
the
projecting
Patriots.
What's going to happen.
Why,
I don't think there's anything wrong with
Brady
that.
Why would Brady be upset with the Patriots?
Because there's a growing disconnect.
Well, yeah, exactly.
No, but that supposedly came from his camp. I forgot the exact phrasing, but
I think that's the phrasing. I think there's a
no, but there was you know a person close to Brady or in Brady's.
The difference is Fred doesn't believe that came from Tom.
I don't think it did.
I do.
Okay.
Isn't the other guy who spoke with Tom yesterday about the longer season also kind of a big deal? Ray Lewis. He's also got to be a union rep, right?
I don't know. Is he?
I think yeah, he must be
a union rep.
And he's the superstar
so
of that team.
He's the best player on that
I'm
team.
I'm not sure he is or not. But
no, he is.
You can check
he's
that.
Right. Brian's right.
Yeah.
Because they were talking about it
well,
as
that's
a union
rare.
Rep.
That's rare.
No, I don't doubt that it's rare. I just laugh because you make the assumption that no other guys are. And not only that, but you tell us why. Because they've already got theirs. They don't care about anybody else.
That's why Brady's different, because he does think about others.
I guess Ray Lewis is different, too. He thinks about others when he's avoiding jail.
Ray, hey, look, for all we make fun of Ray about, a lot of coaches
Ray.
Would love to
you
have
know,
him
Ray.
On their team because he is such a leader. I mean, he's a motivational leader. Let's
I don't think
it.
There's a coach that wouldn't have him except Paul
right.
Perillo.
Except for me, and my team is well-documented.
Right.
My team is well-documented, would never win a game.
A lot of charity work
you
in the
are
community.
Strange.
Right. We'd be a very, very
But he doesn't want a Welker either. He doesn't want, like, the
I
little
want,
overachiever.
No, I want
He wants the middling guy who's
right.
not great and a punk, but he wants...
You're right. It's impossible to find.
You don't have a team.
53 of what I want is not available.
You're the 2,000 Patriots with, like, 30 guys
I
on the
want
roster.
Randy Moss's talent. But
in Wes Welker's mentality of hardworking or something.
Well,
you want Jarvis Green
and
James Randy
Sanders.
Moss's
how about,
body.
How about Randy Moss's talent and James Sanders' personality? If I could get 53 of those, I'm pretty sure I could win.
Yeah, funny. Bill said he'd take 53 James
pretty
Sanders,
sure you'd
too.
Never
he
lose.
Never started him again.
All right. WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address. Now
I do
that
admit, it's
people...
well documented. I would never win a game. As GM, my team, we would stink. I'd have all bunch of good guys, and we wouldn't win any games.
So I've given people something to chew on there.
You did, Fred. A
couple nuggets.
Can I give you something to chew on real quick?
What's that?
Oh, my
Which
God.
I was not deemed allowed.
The raunchiest thing ever.
Oh.
As he turns around, can I give you something to chew on?
I don't want any chewing. I don't know what we're talking about here, but
right.
this was deemed not
appropriate.
No,
my teeth
no,
out.
No, God, no. Eyebrow is above it.
Not appropriate for a debate Friday, according to Paul Perillo. But picture it if you
I
will.
I had to be the guy.
But it's appropriate
Fred.
For here?
Well, we generally debate more things here than we do in print on.
Okay.
Picture it if it, pretend if you will for a moment that you're Robert Kraft, and I know it's a stretch because he wears clean clothes and he's intelligent, well spoken. A lot of things you're not. Knock on your door, and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are outside your door.
Yes.
And they walk in. We just can't do it anymore. It's one or the other. We can't both be here. Bill has decided I'm not the quarterback, and I've decided if it, who do you side with?
Belichick.
Really? No Absolutely. Questions asked.
No questions asked.
Guess it wasn't much of a debate.
I guess
I sided with Belichick, too, but
I
had
sided
to think
with
about
Brady.
It.
I went with Brady. Oh. Because, A, I think coaches have a window. And I think Bill's been here a decade. You've seen the best of Bill Belichick in all likelihood,
well, I'm assuming
based on
that
history.
I'm assuming everything's cool with that. I mean, I haven't seen any indications of him coming to the end of his rope.
Here's what Andy
no,
and
but
Fred
I'm saying
changed
the...
sides from the argument they had in my office.
Yeah, right.
Days
I'm
ago.
Assuming both are at the height of their powers.
But
okay?
There is an end for both of them.
Right.
Sure, a player's end comes in a more physical sense when
exactly.
he can't do it anymore, but I think coaches are the same. Name me all these coaches that have coached significantly more than a decade.
Bill Belichick is not your normal coach.
Right.
This guy is a breed of himself. I mean,
and as Rick Goslin points out, his last three seasons have gone from 16 to 11
fine.
To 10.
Okay, so we're going
to
base the whole thing on the last three seasons. You know,
I'm just saying, if one were to go with the theory that coaches have a window
right.
and it's whatever, 10, 12, 15 yeah. years and it runs out, right. The last three, he's lost a little something.
You know, particularly if I just lost my star quarterback, I want Belichick.
Well, you can keep your star quarterback.
Yeah.
You want
a
Belichick.
But if I have a bad coach, then it doesn't matter.
And for me, by the way, I'm thinking as much business as anything else. In these tough economic times, I want the star quarterback that I can market, sell, put on the field.
Yeah, the problem is they can't. I mean, when Brady doesn't really do with all that stuff,
huh? But he's marketable.
He's the what?
He still sells the most jerseys, and he still is the
most marketable player on the team.
No one comes to watch Bill Belichick coach. They come to
selling
watch.
Selling jerseys isn't where teams make their money. That's the league, and you share it 30
but
ways.
But there's a slight difference. People don't come to watch Bill Belichick 32. Coach. They come to watch Bill Belichick
right.
win. They will come to watch Tom Brady play, not necessarily just win.
Right, but you got to win. It all starts with winning.
I understand that. It's not an easy decision. Well, except for you, who just ran Brady out of town fast.
Look,
you kicked him out the door.
Look, I think you got to start with a good coach, and then you go for the quarterback.
Who's to say Bill Belichick in the second half of his tenure here will be as good as Bill Belichick in the first?
Again, we don't know what Brady's...
Chuck Knoll, Tom Landry, Jimmy Johnson, they all came to an end.
The same argument that you just made with Belichick, I can say people are saying about Brady. Well, yeah, he's still got the numbers, but when it comes in the clutch, he's not the same quarterback he used to be.
But Tom Brady sells more than Bill Belichick sells.
It's the same
Bill Belichick, the personality, is not a seller.
Yeah,
Bill Belichick, the winner, is a seller.
Yes, exactly.
When I'm talking about sweet clients, when I'm talking about... And when was the last time they won the Super Bowl? When was the last time they had... 15
look,
wins,
that
14
affects the
wins.
Quarterback too, not winning. Look, you
it
asked
does,
me a
but
question.
Who can you sell more if they don't win?
You asked me a question.
I didn't like the answer.
You know,
fans come to see players play, not coaches coach.
Belichick, top, you know, top.
That's
performer,
my point, Eric. They want to see coaches win and players
listen,
play.
Right.
Top performer Belichick versus top performer Brady. I have to choose. I got to.
But you're not
the
getting
coach.
The top of either. You're picking the lesser of both. My guess is they've both seen their heights of stardom
he's saying
in the NFL.
Now that they're both coming towards what appears to be the latter halves of their careers.
No, it is. Which, it's the latter half of both careers.
You argued all last week that, you know, Brady isn't the same guy he is anymore. His attention is elsewhere. Why would I want to keep him over Belichick?
Because he's a player. He sells jerseys. He sells sweets. He's marketable. And he's still good, by the way.
But,
he had one of his best season statistically
a year
ago.
Well, that's what I said. But you guys seem to think that, you know, he's at the end. He's never going to be the same guy.
I'm also wicked
it's fine.
Handsome.
I don't think the coach will ever be the same guy. I don't think the coach will ever win 3 Super Bowls in 4 years again.
Can I jump in?
Sure. Give me your guy.
I'm going through the DTs. This is the longest I ever went in an argument without jumping into it.
So go.
I think everything that you're saying is absolutely right, Andy.
But I'm wrong.
But I take. But for all of those reasons, I side with Fred. I think that if you're going to go under the assumption that Belichick and Brady, you have to the base that they're not at the height of their games. I'd rather have a coach not at the height of his game than a quarterback who's on his way down. I mean, I think it's certainly more logical to expect a coach can continue to coach, maybe not at the highest level he ever had, but at a high level than a quarterback as he's deteriorating from a skill standpoint.
But if the coach isn't as good, I mean, he brings the whole team down. If Tom Brady's not as good, you can augment that with better running game, better receiver, better defense. If Bill stinks in coaching and picking players,
I don't think either one of them.
Down,
but I don't think either one of them is.
Well,
gonna,
I was going to say, if Bill starts to, you know, his skills as a coach starts to erode, does that necessarily? Now we're talking about GM. Does that, the GM Bill
well,
bring in a top notch offensive and defensive coordinator?
But I think we could go under the assumption that neither one of them could just. They're going to flat out stink.
Right. Right.
Bring the team down.
Because even a Brady who's not at his 100% is still better than, what, two
Everybody
thirds of the other quarterbacks?
Now, ask me in a different way. I'm Robert Kraft. No, and this is serious. I'm Robert Kraft, and I detect that both of them can't be the same. Okay? I think that. Now, I think you're right. You get rid of the coach first because, you know, once a coach loses that audience, once people stop listening to him, it just goes downhill. You got to make
argument.
A change. You
got
to make a change.
That's
different.
You know, but I don't even think we're not even in the same universe as that happening with Belichick.
I don't know.
It might have happened a little last year.
Yeah, I mean, they lacked chemistry, leadership, and cohesion.
They might have tuned
that.
Him out.
Well,
last year.
And if it happens,
I believe
again,
the quarterback said we need to listen to our coach more.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they tuned him out at some
but
point.
But I think every coach, including the great
quarterback,
Bill Parcells,
the quarterback had his. His listening device on from the West Coast the
Look,
whole time.
Even Bill Parcells says you need
he put the speakerphone on.
You need to circle the wagon guys. No coach can do it. He needs those guys to back him up. You know, so that's what they're trying to do.
It's the ultimate barroom debate, Brady or Belichick. And I think we're putting factors into it now that Andy's bringing up about less, you know, has their you know, on the downside of their careers.
Diminishing skills.
And I agree with Andy, and we talked about maybe looking into this as a feature.
I don't think Belichick is on the diminishing skills.
Oh, come on.
I don't.
Listen, the facts are there, Fred. There's only a handful of guys that have ever coached in this league for more than 15 years.
Well, that's true.
This guy has been in the NFL for 35 years.
I know, but we're judging Belichick from you know, 3 out of 4 years winning Super Bowls, and that's not fair.
Well, we're judging Brady from winning 2 Super Bowl MVPs. That's not
fair. I look around the league, and there's no other coach I would rather have, period.
But that's fine.
Period.
But
okay. I'd
say the same thing about the quarterback.
I got to replace him. And I'm going to replace him with an inferior product.
And I'm going to replace the quarterback with an inferior product.
Well, yeah, but at least I can get like a number one draft pick or something, and, you know, with a hope of him, you know, again.
You can't get another coach who might have a bright future?
But if I have the best coach in the league, why would I ever want to get rid of him?
If I have the best quarterback in the league, why would I ever want to get rid of him?
Guys, he's not.
He is.
I think a diminished Belichick is still the best.
But see, that's where you're using. This is like one of the things. It's like this, the hypothetical that becomes fact.
Right.
Belichick's best coach in the league. Okay.
Well, he is.
I can't argue with you. How do I know?
Well, who would you?
All I know is
really prove that against Sean Payton.
All I know is
coach, Mike Shanahan,
a coach not named Bill Belichick, has won the Super Bowl the last 5 years.
Captain
I don't
Ahab.
Know if that means that he's not the best.
And that coach who won
the
Super Bowl wiped the field with Belichick's team.
He got completely outcoached
by imitating Belichick pregame.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not fact that Bill is the best coach, and there's no question in the National Football League.
Yes, well, it is.
No, it isn't.
That's my point. You can't. Can't argue against that. I can't prove that wrong. I think Bill is a great coach.
Wikipedia says he's the best.
Until I go change
him. Oh, God.
All right. WebRadioPatriots.com, 508-543-7482. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon. So I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad. Tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Greetings, loved ones. Let's take a journey.
I know a place where the grass is really
All right, back here.
I wanted the chorus or the hook or whatever.
I'll give you the hook.
Can you pot it down and bring it back up when you get the hook or whatever? The part about Daisy Duke's bikini. Oh, that part.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543.
Andy, Katy Perry was named Maxim's hottest.
Overrated. Nice tatas, but she's certainly not the hottest woman on the planet.
She
was number one?
Oh, yeah. Number one.
Maxim's number one.
Really?
She does have those. She's not anywhere near the
is
hottest.
Is she saying anything about bikini bottoms? Now.
This is where we need the video podcast. To see his big fat bobblehead bopping up and down.
Paul. You know I like the song.
Thank you.
I'm just not dancing like that.
What do they say? That's going to be the anthem summer 2010 right there. That's good.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, you're old. I'm sorry you're
just
old.
Just so you know, that's accurate. I'm too old to have a song for the summer of 2010.
Hey.
All right, get a lot of emails coming in.
I'm 40 freaking two.
Also, Brad from the Eastern Shore is calling in. Brad, how you doing?
Hey, all right, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Hey, what's up?
I am old enough to remember that Pete Brock was the union rep for the Patriots back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So that was
He was the union rep when they went on strike, if I'm not mistaken, in 87.
That is correct, for the scab players.
Yeah, and he ripped Doug Flutie, but welcomed Andre Tippett back with open arms.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
That was quite a moment. I'm sure the locker room was quiet that day. Kevin Lawai is another long-time union rep.
Yep.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, back to my linebacker scenarios for the year. Spikes interview on Patriots.com.
Yep.
And I felt like we have a real leader in the making there. He looks the part. He's saying the right things. He looks like he's that big thumper guy. What do you think?
I agree with everything, except we need to find out if he can play.
Yeah.
I mean, he oozes leadership. He oozes it. He is such a natural leader and all that crap, but he has to be able to play. He has to be able to line up next to Mayo and perform, and we won't know that until
pads come on and
beyond
July 29th.
Everything I need to know about Spikes is positive, except for the big one.
Can he play?
We don't know if he can actually play, but he certainly looks the part. He talks the part. He oozes, as Andy said, leadership and intangibles. We just need to see the pads get on in August and see if he can play.
Well, for those of you over 40.
Okay.
Is he more of a Steve Nelson or a Sam Hunt?
Ooh.
I've only seen Steve Nelson play, so I can.
Both of those guys are surprisingly mobile,
by the
way.
Yes, they were. Two very different people.
Yeah, well,
Spikes was very mobile at Florida.
I'm over 40.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. I would say then Nelly, because Nelly had 17 career interceptions.
Hunt was just the big thumper.
But he was also very mobile and made some big plays, not as many as Nelly.
I'm going with he's more Hunt, having never seen Hunt play.
I don't know much about Sam Hunt either, because even though I am over 40, I have very little recollection of watching him play in the late 70s, whereas Nelly played into the 80s, and I have more of a...
No, it's true. They were different. They almost handed the torch off from one to the...
Yeah,
I liked...
I think Andy's probably right. I think Spikes is probably more of a thumper than a three-down guy who's going to make
Ted
a lot
Johnson,
of plays.
We'll say Ted Johnson versus Nelson.
Ted Johnson.
I think he might be a little more athletic than Ted
Johnson.
Yeah,
I think he might.
I'm hoping. Again, it takes time
to play.
I'll
stick with the Nelly comparison.
I think Ted Johnson was underrated athletically.
Yeah, but I'm not sure he did the things in coverage in terms of
what... Yeah, I don't know if you could see
him
picking off a pass and taking it 40 yards to
the
house.
No, he didn't have a lot of intercept. He might not have had any interceptions in his career, but...
I'm going more back to Colorado. I want to compare apples to apples.
Yeah, I think he was...
Spikes was pretty athletic for Florida, despite the 40 time. He was a pretty athletic player for them. Yeah. I'm not sure Ted Johnson was as athletic for the Buffaloes.
Okay.
All right.
Where's McKenzie falling in that mix?
He is in the mix.
He's in the mix. He's been
not to say ones, twos, or threes, but I've seen drills where Mayo leads the huddle, then the next guy is McKenzie leading the huddle, and Spikes actually leads the third huddle, lining up next to Dane Fletcher. So not making any assumptions there, but it's interesting who he's lined up next to.
But he's more never having seen him because, you know, what, he got drafted, and then the very first OTA or the second OTA, he's hurt.
Well, rookie minicamp, actually.
Rookie, yeah, right, exactly. I meant the very first practice, sorry.
Yeah.
Is he more of the Ray Lewis run around and make the tackles?
No.
Or let's go back to Ted Johnson.
Again,
you're going to take on the guard and thump him.
Again, you're asking us to make judgments based on no facts. We don't have any visuals of him in pads running around making tackles, making hits. It's hard. I don't mean to cop out, but it's hard to make that distinction right now.
I'll tell you that his idol is Ray Lewis, and his self-scouting report is Ray Lewis.
He wants to bring the heat.
He's big and strong enough to take on guards, runs as fast as the running backs, can cover.
And he's got the chip on his shoulder from having missed a full season. And
a scar on his knee, matey.
Right. So, you know, the potential exists, but until we actually see it, we can't give you a definitive answer.
No, I just wondered, like, body type. Is he more of the... You know, guy that's got the huge upper body and just ready to take guys on.
He's a big dude.
Big
but Spikes. Spikes is a big dude, too.
Oh, yeah.
Spikes is a more natural big dude, rounder, like thick naturally, whereas McKenzie looks like a guy that got stuck in a weight room for a year and built up his traps. And there's a difference. There's
Vincent
a natural
Brown.
Big. Yeah, he's got more of that. Or most recently, Thomas Clayton, the running back, is absolutely...
Dude is stacked.
Ripped.
New
shredded,
running back
big,
is stacked.
Mohawk. He looks like a weight room freak. But you don't need to
tattoos.
Look like a weight room freak to be a strong, solid football player.
No, exactly.
Look at Brian Urlacher.
Right.
You ever see him with his shirt off?
No.
Have you?
Yeah.
He's huge.
I have, as a matter of fact.
And it's amazing that he went from college safety and kick returner to NFL middle linebacker,
who's
huge.
He's huge.
You know.
He learned it at the
next
level.
He's a freak of not
nature. No, but he doesn't have huge arms or, you know, Urlacher.
Well, not everybody can.
You know?
I'm saying he juiced.
He's huge.
That's what I'm going with.
I'm coming out and saying it. He went from safety to a linebacker.
He went from safety / kick returner to linebacker.
He went from safety at a lower level Division I.
Right.
My other couple comments for the day are the newspapers have been trying to break news stories since Spygate just to draw people away from PatriotsRadio.com.
There you go.
Thank you, Brad.
They're feeling the heat, and we're bringing it.
And they're swinging and missing.
I have unfortunately been away from Maine for 21 years now, and
congratulations.
Religiously, those 21 years, I would as soon as the internet became available and stuff, you know, Boston Globe, Boston Herald, they are now by far second and third after Patriots.com.
Thank you,
thanks
Brad.
Very much.
Nice to
guys,
spread the word, spread the
you
love.
You guys have definitely all those emails that you get and the ask PFW questions and people say how great you are. You guys are hurting yourselves because you're patting yourselves in the back so much, but it's well deserved.
Andy's got a broken arm from doing it so much.
Well, but you know what? You guys will call it like you see it. You know, if Brandon Spikes becomes just too slow to get out of his own way, you'll call that. You won't give him 3 years of, well, he's developing, well, this, well, that.
Well, I will.
Yeah. Andy, Eric, and Paul will. Fred will be on the other side.
Until he gets cut, and then Fred.
And then Fred will cut ties.
What did he ever do?
That's why they call us fair and balanced.
What, did he catch four touchdowns?
But, no, he, you know, and nothing. I hope he doesn't. I mean, I am psyched to have those three guys in the middle of the field for the next 4 or 5 years because I am a true believer in defense up the middle. And you've got Will Fork now tied up. You can get two good middle linebackers and some good safeties coming along. I really think the defense will go back to the 2000-2001 era of football, where it's, you know, you don't need the 40 points to win a game because your defense is only going to give up 12.
Right. I hope so, Brad.
All right. The only other thing is the Belichick versus Brady, I think, is no different than creation versus evolution. Chicken or the egg or fish and cut bait.
It's true. You can make your case for either one.
I think, exactly. I think they've both proven winners. I think we are very fortunate, having gone through as many years as I have with the Patriots, with no quarterback and no coach, I am reveling in the glory of having both.
Right.
Well put.
Yes.
Have a great weekend, and keep up the good work.
All right, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Brad from the Eastern Shore of...
somewhere in the east.
I don't know.
I told Paul my answer, Fred, would be, Jonathan, come in here. You've wanted to make some more decisions around here. Make the call. I'll be out playing golf.
Travis,
you've been looking for more responsibility.
Travis,
put on your big boy pants and decide who stays.
Webradio at Patriots.com. Travis from Tally says, hey, guys, including Eric.
And from Tally?
Yeah, Tallahassee. I go to FSU, and I've been taking a religion class for the summer. The other day we were talking about religion in the movies, and I used Fred's Star Wars theory as an example, and my professor actually agreed with Fred. I'm writing my next paper on it, so thank you.
Wow.
There you go.
There's a lot of religious themes in Star Wars.
Travis, you're going to have to read The Power of Myth by Joseph Campbell.
I should have known Fred stole it.
I'm writing, let's see, now on to football. You may have touched on it already, but what about sending Mankins to Dallas for a second rounder and Patrick Creighton? Would that be a good trade? My other football question has to do with tight ends. Right now, even with the little amount we have seen from the tight ends, do you think it will be one of the rookies who will start opening day, or will it be Algie Crumpler? So first, the rookies.
Probably the rookies.
I mean, I can't guarantee Crumpler won't start, but the rookies are going to have a big impact on this team.
And I think all three of those guys will play offense. Yeah. I think you'll see them in different sets, different situations.
Game plan based.
Right. And it'll be game plan based.
And we've seen a ton of two tight end sets in a variety of formats.
But they can come out on first down five wide, and Algie Crumpler is probably not going to be on the field.
Yeah.
But
this, or he might
be.
He's been lined up wide a lot.
But I don't think that's their ideal. They want everybody
just
to know everything.
Fat,
you know,
doesn't mean he can't line up wide.
No, I just think that because Aaron Hernandez is more athletic and quick. Oh, yes, he is.
Or they might come up against a team where they think they have the matchup to run, and they come out thinking they're going to pound the ball, and Crumpler does start. You know, it doesn't.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And it all depends on what they decide to do from week to week. I think all those guys will definitely play.
His other question was about.
What was the other part about that? There was something else there.
Would you trade Mankins to Dallas
for a second rounder? You can keep Patrick Creighton.
Wow. You just don't want him.
No, plus, I'm very encouraged by what I've seen so far this spring of the receivers. I am.
Hey, ladies, says
you can keep
Aaron.
Patrick Creighton. I don't want.
Well, I think you better trade
like
Mankins because I don't think he's going to play for you.
So no, I think you should.
If you can get a second round pick, take it.
You know, and maybe from Dallas it'll be a lower. Maybe you can get a first rounder. They'll probably be in the bottom 12. So, you know, maybe
they have to pay him $50 million.
Yeah.
So what?
Aaron from Virginia says, "Hey, ladies and Fred
Andy
Jones.
And
Paul.
He has money.
Hey, ladies and Fred Andy. Tamash, that means you're a lady too.
That's true.
Did you see his face just fall?
Just went blank. Huh. Those liberals, they're easy to confuse.
I have some questions for you today. On a scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about the left side of the O-line now that it will be without Mankins and will still include Light, who was also missing from camp today?
Five. Six. Is that
just
more
so you know? Eric
worried?
And Paul just gave each other a high five.
Right.
Okay,
that's right. Because we're all about Patriots football weekly. Right.
That was a very awkward high five.
Yeah, it was.
Well, they're two bald white guys.
Now, were you looking for a chest bump?
Everything they do is awkward.
Two. Which rookie has looked the best so far out of this group? Price,
Hernandez,
Spikes, Price, Spikes, Gronk, or Petrucci?
Oh, come on.
Price, that's Spikes, Gronk.
Eric says no.
Gronk.
Yeah, Petrucci.
Hey, girl.
Yeah. Hey, girl.
I just wanted to, you know, go out, do it quickly, and come back.
My kind of girl.
Any girl is your kind of girl. That's any girl who will
that's
acknowledge
inaccurate.
You.
She's that's
breathing.
Inaccurate.
You know?
Right.
No, that's inaccurate. That's optional. Still warm.
That's inaccurate.
Maybe that's your problem.
Lower your standards.
What,
raise your average.
Living?
You're set the bar too high.
That is his problem.
Just
we've been over this
email.
Before. He gets angry, but
just
that's his problem.
Are any of the new receivers impressing you as of now? Who has a better chance of making the roster, Price or Tate? Paul thinks Price.
They both will.
I think they both will be around in some capacity. Maybe someone ends up on IR or something, but...
Foxborough flu, as they like to call it?
No, a list of some sort. I don't know what's going to happen.
Reserve military?
I don't think they can...
It's unbelievable.
Imagine if they just signs up for the Marines.
Taylor Price joins the Army last day of camp so they can put him on reserve military.
Four, how many people had to restrain Andy from charging out on the field when Hernandez rung James Sanders' bell? Is Hernandez in danger of being the victim of an Andy Hart attack?
Tell the story,
now
Paul.
That he seems to be outshining Gronkowski and embarrass Sanders.
He is not. Who is outshining Gronkowski?
Hernandez.
It's accurate, Paul.
I think it's accurate.
I love Gronkowski more than anyone.
I think Hernandez is excellent, but I think they're two totally different kinds of players.
That's a good point.
But he should outshine him in a camp like this. It's
right.
Shorts and t-shirts.
Right.
But he has.
This is flag football.
If he hadn't, it would be poor. Yeah. Just like it was. He didn't show up. When was the first 2 days? Rookie minicamp when he was just kind of eh.
Right.
And then OTAs, he looked better.
Right.
You're not going to see Hernandez running over people. You'll see Gronkowski running over people when the pads are on.
and bodying them up.
So he'll look more impressive doing that.
I think it's one of those things.
And Hernandez will look more impressive.
To me, it's
cutting and weaving
in
between
people. It's like Watson and Graham. When Watson first got here and Graham was already here for a year or two.
He just scared Patriots fans to death.
No. And everybody thought that Watson was the new age tight end who did all these athletic things and was – I just always thought Graham was the better player.
He was and is. I
thought he did more things well, and I thought hopefully Hernandez will be better than Watson, obviously, to make this analogy no good. But I'd be remiss, Fred, if I didn't relay this story.
Yes.
7-on-7 goal line drill. Hernandez comes along the back line of the end zone. Sanders is there. The throw is way high, so high that it actually hit the crossbar.
Running towards the goalpost.
So they're running toward the middle of the field, and they jump, and they come down awkwardly. And the guy in blue, which is way on the other side of the – we were in the opposite end zone on the other field.
Yeah,
so it was not only 100 yards away, it was the opposite field. Yeah. So we were way away, and we were all looking like, wow, that was a pretty good collision for a non-contact minicamp. And immediately, Andy is despondent. He's just looking around. Did anybody see Sanders? Have you seen James? Have you seen Jimmy? is it Jimmy? We have no idea who it is. He's flat on his back. You can't see the number. And again, we're a good, 400 yards away. Anybody see Jimmy? And he's actually looking at all the other players to do process of elimination to find out who's down.
He's like the mother of the second-year-old who got hurt in soccer, runs out in the field.
No question.
Where's my Jimmy?
And turns out it was Jimmy. Yeah.
But he's fine. It was just a knee.
A UFC like knee to the gut.
I thought at first he was going to say to the nuts, but it was to the.
I think that might have been what it was, but I think he was just saying midsection.
Just said gut to be nice.
I think he said midsection.
He did say midsection,
but I think he may have gotten.
Could be. Last question,
little Mitch Kupchak.
Would you trade Mankins to the Redskins for Albert Haynes straight up, or would you ask them to please take Maroney as well?
Yes, I'd do it straight up easily.
I would absolutely trade.
There's talk they're going to cut him.
Haynesworth. I know they're trying to get the $21 million back.
Based on Elfin, that old longtime guy,
he's excellent.
Said would not be shocked if they cut him. News to come soon.
Here's my concern with that is the statement that Haynesworth released the other day hinting at the fact that he's unhappy because of the way they are planning to use him in the 3-4 and the way they used him last season. You're coming to a team where they might not play the 3-4 all the time, but it's a pretty important.
And you're also coming to a team that really says,
you do what we say.
Exactly.
Right.
And he's going to want to come.
I don't think he fit here.
He's
but
not
going to
like.
He's a defensive player of the year caliber player.
If he's this upset about having to play in a 3-4 in Washington, you can cross off New England off the list. Because no matter what, if they play four-man front or three-man front, he's going to be playing the way he doesn't want to play.
Exactly.
But I'd still trade for him.
But if you're asking me player for player, yes, I would make that trade.
Especially since one guy already says he's not going to play for you. Give this guy a half a season before he decides he won't play for you.
LT from Adelaide. Hello to Peter Griffin, Stewie Griffin, Homer Simpson, and Squidward. Loving your collective work at the moment from the most informative blog.
Homer.
It looks like Breer is trying to copy you over at the Globe, the best paper and the best radio show.
Wow. Well, that's what Breer does.
What did Breer try to do?
I don't know. I don't read him.
I haven't read any of his stuff either.
Quick game.
Since I called him arrogant.
I basically just read Mike Reese because I think he's the only one that does it.
He's the second best.
The right way. Besides us, of course.
A quick game for you to play. If you were allowed to select one current NFL player from any other team, regardless of contract, to play for the New England Patriots, not on a trade, who would that player be? Would you rather have a pass-rushing linebacker like DeMarcus Ware, a shutdown corner like Darrell Revis, a first-class receiving weapon opposite Moss like Larry Fitzgerald, or in Paul's case, replace Brady with Manning? Definitely interested to hear your thoughts.
That's a good question. Where is a good one?
For need and
where would be
and
the
fit.
One?
I take Revis.
Yeah, but he's
a shutdown corner, man.
And he's shown himself to be a turd in the last week.
Not taking in the personality.
You take the good, you take the bad.
That type of a shutdown
you take them
corner.
Both, and there you have.
Give me a knock on DeMarcus Ware. There isn't one.
I would take.
He's pouring.
There was also no answer.
I would take Ware.
Yeah, that's immediate need, quality player.
I think you have to
bigger
look,
need. I would say.
Yeah,
I'd love to have an elite corner.
Right,
but
I really do think with the pass rush,
Revis is showing himself a questionable guy.
I think you have to look at your team too, and I think what would make your team the best, out of all those additions, is
pass
the
rush.
Difference between Bodden and Butler and Revis greater than the difference between Bantakane and Burgess and Ware? I don't think so.
No.
I think Ware is light years ahead of anything we have on the edge. And I think Revis is clearly more talented and a better cover corner than anybody we have, but I think the gap is smaller.
I just think when you have the guy like that, that type of cornerback that can, like we talked about when Ty Law was in his prime, take that half of the field, it just opens up so many other opportunities.
It does.
But let me ask you this. Is there an argument to be made that Revis is made to look better because of the front seven?
Could maybe.
Because that's a great defense.
You
know, I think Revis is terrific.
But you've seen him on an island.
I think he makes
plays. I know, but when you know you're on an island for a short amount of time, maybe you're able to play more aggressively.
Maybe.
But the same can be said the other way. Lee Bodden and Darius Butler can play differently with DeMarcus Ware on the field.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm with you, Hi-Ho. I want Ware. Yeah. I think Ware would be – now, I would certainly settle for Revis. I think Revis is Revis was the best player I saw in the NFL last year.
I agree.
Not only he was the defensive MVP – well, player of the year, whatever they call it. I thought he was the MVP of the league. I thought he was the best player I saw last year.
Love the show, says LT. Love the arguments. And for those people who complain about you guys talking over the top of each other, screw them, because it wouldn't be PFW in progress if that didn't happen. You guys are definitely the best. Keep up the great work.
Send lunch.
Screw them.
Yeah. Screw them. What's up, guys?
I was actually trying to keep the
email flow going.
Yeah, and not interject with any stupid.
But there are a lot of emails.
There are. Hamza writes in, hope Andy has recovered after his boy apparently took a hard knee to the midsection. I can just imagine him saying, Jimmy, are you hurt, Jimmy? Speak to me, damn it.
It was worse than that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what's worse than the knee to the midsection is having to watch
Andy trying to
massage it and Brandon Merriweather take every rep with the, as Fred likes to put it, the ones on defense.
On the subject of some recent discussions, I can't believe how angry everyone got at Paul for not watching soccer. I mean, really, guys? Watching a sport on TV is not an act of patriotism. Nor
but rooting
is
against America is.
I'm not rooting against.
He said he didn't care if they lost 5-0.
Means I'm rooting against them.
Yes, you didn't care.
Because it will not care. It will not matter to me whether America does well
you
in the World
always
Cup.
Always root for
means
America.
That I'm rooting against
you
them.
You should be pulling for America at all times.
I am rooting against them, but I will
damn
not
right.
lose an ounce of sleep if they don't do well. There's a difference.
Well, you should
I rooted
that
for
we lost.
I rooted for the United States in the Olympic hockey, and it bothered me for an hour after the game. It was a stinging loss. I rooted for the United States in the bobsled. I couldn't tell you who the guy was that participated in it. When they didn't win, it didn't matter to me. That's the difference. I don't care about bobsledding. I don't care about soccer. I care about hockey.
I care about my
but
country.
I want the U.S. to win in all of those sports.
Do you really think the American soccer team in South Africa cares whether Paul or anyone else, for that matter, is or isn't watching them on TV?
Yes.
I myself find the World Cup to be fairly entertaining stuff, but I don't see how it's a service to your country to sit in front of the TV and cheer once every hour when someone actually does something. I especially thought it was funny when Fred said, Paul, I logged a lot of hours watching the Olympics. Cue the thank you for your service soundbite.
Can I ask you a World Cup related thing before you move on to the rest of his email?
Sure.
We've watched the first half of France and Mexico today in the studio.
Yeah.
Scouting report. Who's supposed to win a game like that? Are they both good?
France has got the edge.
The liberal wants to chime in.
Both teams have had
France is better.
Okay, France is high because Mexico has had some great scoring opportunities.
I don't think Mexico's bad. I don't know
no, they're not,
about soccer.
They're not bad,
but France is like
I think
France is the better team.
The guy from
better.
Argentina had a hat trick.
Yeah.
It's rare in soccer.
Yeah.
Let's see. On another note, what's with all the callers complaining about you guys arguing and talking over one another? That's good stuff. I come for the Patriots easy, Andy, but I stay for the insane hour-long arguments about what 99% means versus 100%. Spittle flying back and forth. Paul and Fred flush beet red, pizza and chicken wings everywhere that all somehow end with, so we all agreed all along anyway. Or with, right.
See, now this is truly a veteran of the show.
Yeah.
Throw in an inevitable, inappropriate comment by Fred about getting his knob serviced, after which he says, what? Was that not good? Did I faux pas? And you've got good radio.
Did I faux pas?
One more thing. Who started the Squidward comparison with Eric? I was watching SpongeBob the other day, and I was once again reminded how spot on it is.
That's TG and NJ
that would be Fred Kirsch.
I thought TG came up with that.
Fred Kirsch told my son, Will, to call you Squidward.
Yes.
That's how it started.
Really?
Yep.
You're a jerk.
He asked Will. Clarinet.
You are a jerk.
He asked Will if he'd ever seen SpongeBob. I said yes. He goes, Squidward.
He plays the clarinet?
Yeah.
I played the clarinet when I was in
one time at band camp. I would give you another high five for actually admitting that, but I don't want to upset the apple cart.
Yeah.
But that's big of you to actually admit that.
I'm really surprised you're not jumping all over this.
I said one time at band camp, and you guys weren't listening. I
heard
also
the skin
said
flute.
He's more familiar with the flute. I didn't say skin. I just said flute.
We know what you were talking about.
Yeah, but I didn't. That's him who said skin. I just said flute.
Oh, God. Skin on
That gets me.
And P.S., for your amusement, go to a website called manningface.com. It made my afternoon.
Yeah, we don't think we need any more amusement than we just provide for ourselves.
We're good with ourselves. Lock us in a room, you know, about this size.
Can I tell my Ferrera story?
Sure.
You teased that.
I don't think he told you about this, Fred, but when you guys got to your hotel, apparently he said he had to go and take care of his business when he got there, right? So he goes and sits down and realizes that there's some sort of like tube thing that's coming out from the floor and sort of like hanging, sort of like dangling next to where he's sitting. And then he sees a little button nearby and has no clue what any of this contraption is. So he decides, what does this button do? He hits it and gets squirt in the face with the bidet water. And it just got like all over him. And then he's like, I spent the next half hour scrubbing and washing my face because I had butt water all over myself.
Wait, but it doesn't become butt water till it hits your butt.
I know, but it's funny that he thought that it was. Right. It was funnier his telling it because he thought that he was getting sprayed with all that.
A lot of the hotels use what they call brown water in the toilets, so it's not really clean.
Right.
You know?
But so the question I had was.
So you don't want to be dumping a cup in there and drinking out?
No. What kind of hotel did you guys stay in? Because we've never had a bidet in any of the hotels we stayed in.
I didn't have one in my bathroom.
I don't know what the hell it was.
He
was
like the executive suite.
He must have been. I was on the ninth floor. He was on the 14th. So maybe.
Really? Maybe
he's
on the executive level.
Ferrera presses the wrong button and all hell breaks loose.
Oh, but that's funny though. That's funny. I mean, that's something like in a movie.
I could have done it too though, because I probably wouldn't have known.
Well, I would have tried to use it just to use it because I've never really. I don't think I've ever even seen one.
Oh, I have.
But I've never seen the kind where it's like a hose that comes out.
No,
I thought it was just like it looks like a
squat over.
Yeah.
It looks like a toilet without a cover.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, those are the kind I've seen.
This is why
we dated a Portuguese girl who had it in her. It was in her house. I never used it though.
Ooh, sounds like there's a story there.
Now,
no, not really.
I was criticized earlier for saying that David Gibbons and Taylor Price had light skin. Where exactly did the Portuguese part
of that girl?
I
assume that's why she had a bidet because she was Portuguese.
Why?
I don't know. I just assumed.
Okay.
Well, did you guys see? I don't want to get off
Portuguese
football that much.
I don't have
we have a lot of emails, but did you guys see?
A lot of emails.
Hangover, right?
You all saw the movie. Yeah.
You know the guy with the beard, the real funny guy in the movie? Yeah. He hosted Saturday Night Live. Did anyone see that episode?
No.
Okay, forget it. There's a skit where he's in a hotel with a woman and they're looking at their room or they're renting an apartment or something, and the guy showing it shows them the bidet. And they go on and now does the bidet hold excessive weight? You know, and they go on and on about the bidet, and it's very funny. So,
get to see it. Huh?
Yeah.
That's a fake laugh, by the way.
That's a hangover.
Screw you.
What about Andy's accident? Can we talk about that?
Oh yeah.
Well,
we're gonna get to that too.
Yeah, right. It makes fun of me and my driving.
Right. Right.
I don't recall ever hitting anyone in the parking lot.
No, you've come close. Very close.
Gillette Stadium.
No, but you've
usually
almost killed
not
people.
It's for lack of trying. You accelerate towards people all the time.
Well, usually the cars you
keep
hit
them on their
are
toes.
Moving.
Yes, I may have
hit a car in the parking lot.
You did. While trying to squeeze into a spot that was a little too small. Yeah, I'm used to that.
Kind of like
you know.
Fred in that shirt.
Wow. Coming from you, Paul, that really hurts.
I know.
But I immediately came to you and said, I can never make fun of you for driving again, correct?
Right.
I told you I hit a car in the parking lot. Then I was an idiot and tried to be Mr. Nice Guy. Good karma left a note. And you guys, 99 Avalon with 800,000 miles had to be repaired for
$350 he wants for it. So Andy had to give
I got
him a
bent
check.
Over and pumped.
Wow.
He really did.
Mark tape.
Wow. And then the day got bad.
But everyone keeps telling me karma. I got a lot of karma now on my side.
Oh, it is good. You did the right thing.
You did the right thing, but you really
karma's
you did
cost
get bent over
days.
And pumped.
I didn't realize it was a 98.
Something like
99.
That. 99 Avalon, and it's definitely got a ton of miles. And the worst part is I put a little spit on my thumb and went over to it,
and it was
95%
off.
Of it just rubs right
and
off.
And there was no dent.
There was no dent. Maybe a slight scratch, but you buy that stupid 1999 Panon.
Should have just cleaned it off yourself.
I should have. My initial reaction was I moved my car and got the hell out of there, but then I left a note.
And I come driving into the parking lot, you know, as normal, you know, 15, 20 minutes later.
You know, I had time to have a car accident, move my car, come in the office,
move the car
write
back.
A note, decide whether I was going to bring the note, get Carol,
so
go out.
So I'm driving down the row, and I see Andy with a piece of paper in his hand. He's just walking in the parking lot, you know, with that.
Like
that
really fast.
You know, yeah, with the watermelons under his arms, like always. He's walking up to a car, and he sticks a note under the windshield. I go, what the hell are you doing? And then I see his car is like three rows away because I know he initially tried to. Maybe no one will notice.
Well, initially, the fight or flight or whatever, the first reaction was flee.
Right.
But and then the a-hole calls me and says, how'd you hit a car in the parking lot? And I don't know. Check the video footage. I just did. Oh, I mean, what kind of question is that?
That's funny.
Who, me?
No, the a-hole.
Oh, first of all, I'm not an a-hole.
Well, you are, but you're not the a-hole.
And I didn't call you.
He works over at IFP, whatever they... What do they do?
They sell paper.
Push pulp?
Yep. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
Like
Connor writes in. He says he's emailing from Dubai in
the United Arab Emirates.
So, all right. We got a pen over there?
The average person there
got any more
makes
pens
a million
in there?
Or has a $1 million.
There's a lot of money in
it's
Dubai.
It's the average. Yeah. $5,000 a month.
They
for
like
rent.
The Dubai
is,
stuff.
Is that where
there.
They have that 7-star hotel?
Yes.
I think in Dubai.
Everything
the
there
one that's
better.
Shaped like a sailboat?
I don't know.
It's where they have the hotel like a sailboat where you can play tennis on the roof.
The island
they
that's have like
the
a palm
thing.
Tree.
They
shape.
Have the palm tree island. They have the island that's shaped like the earth. It looks just like you put a globe in
and
the
I
ocean.
And I heard they're going broke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're underwater, up to their eyeballs in debt.
Do you have any more pins in there?
I am up to my eyeballs.
No.
Anyway, he says, I love the show and wish you were there was another during the week. Even though you sometimes struggle for football-related topics, the content is still excellent.
Thank you.
Content is king. First, nice prediction on Dalis Thomas and his lack of interest. I'm surprised the Bills didn't jump, considering their move to a 3-4 and total lack of talent for the 3-4 system. Hell, I'm surprised even the Broncos didn't bite, especially considering a large group of their roster are former Pats. Obviously, McDaniels knows he is an effing eejit. That's some Irish language for you, similar to idiot.
Eejit.
And my question.
Eejit.
Are rookies paid anything for their time with the Patriots, in particular those who are unsigned but will be signed? I understand that those free agents are there earning a chance for their job. What about McCourty or Gronk, for example? Not saying they are poor or anything, but how would they, whose contract is still a few months away, I assume, pay for expenses? Are the players from the other side of the country housed by the Patriots organization?
That's a great question.
Thought I would.
It is a good question
because I know the undrafted rookies get paid once they sign because there is a
and they get a bonus
weekly stipend and all that. But I don't know about the unsigned draft picks.
I'm pretty sure that everybody is. They make arrangements for everybody to live until they find their own arrangements. But I don't know what the actual payment is in terms of salary. Yeah. Before they're signed and whatnot.
You would think they'd have to have some kind of
I think they get
allowance.
A stipend.
No, they all do
practices.
Under contract. But my question is the
guys
the
that aren't
guys,
under contract.
There's now seven guys who are drafted.
That's what I'm talking about, too. Who, like the guys like Gronkowski who haven't signed yet.
I don't.
Where are they
I
getting their money from?
But they have to get money from somewhere.
I think they get a stipend in
but
the
how
beginning.
How can you pay somebody who doesn't work for you yet?
Well, that's a good question.
And how would that be
Well,
legal?
You don't have a contract. Maybe it's an employee will type thing. I don't know.
Yeah, do they just get paid by the day?
That's a very good question.
It's like, I think, by the week in the spring and during the practices.
Yeah, the guy's under contract, there's no doubt. The numbers are it's X for this for a rookie, for a veteran. There's a couple different things. The team must provide transportation to and from and all that.
Right.
But the rookies aren't under contract. I don't know how that works exactly for those specific guys. That's weird.
I'm starting to like this soccer game.
Yeah, it's intense.
Oh, they're really
the guy just
out.
Got tripped, and of course he went down like he got shot with an elephant gun. But then the guy from France just booted the ball right at him when he was on the ground.
Oh,
the guy got up; he was right in his face.
They had a shoving match. And
then
the
he pointed his finger like Dikembe Mutombo.
It's some Cinco de Mayo.
He did do the Mutombo finger,
and I've seen a lot
and
of
he
different
ended up with
forms
a yellow
of
card.
Yeah, well, orange cleats as well. They're not all the same.
There's all different kinds.
They all have
orange, gray, orange,
yeah, with some sort of orange,
all orange. Oh, yeah. Ooh, pushing the back.
Yeah, and the guy flopped like a little busy.
Yeah, now watch. He gets up in his face. And,
yeah, they don't
he
show
started
up. He
waving did the, his finger in his face.
Juarez.
Dikembe Mutombo style?
Yeah.
In Africa?
Yeah.
No.
P.S. For those who like British comedy,
that's
try
okay.
Irish comedy, a show called Father Ted. It's about priests, so Fred will probably love it.
Do they diddle?
I don't think they could have that on TV.
Sakes.
Well, it's Europe. It's not here. It's in England. Ireland. They're all drunk, including the
Fred, there's an English show about the priesthood that you would like called The Vicar of Dibley.
Oh.
Now, that sounds like they're diddling.
No, it's
the Vicar of Dibley.
It's about a woman priest. It's hilarious.
Is that a priestess?
You'd like it, Fred. She was a vicar, which is like a priest who takes care of a parish but doesn't – she gets a stipend for doing it but not – like the tithes of the church. She doesn't get the full 10%. It's some weird rule, but
a vicar?
A vicar, yes.
Like Mrs. Vicar's potato chips, isn't that?
To the vicar
company?
No. Goes to spoils?
Oh, good, Paul.
How do you spell vicar?
V-I-C-A-R.
No, it's C-K, isn't it? E-R.
No, the vicar in the church is V-I-C-A-R.
Oh.
I got what I wanted to just turn this into chaos.
Mark in Oxford, hey guys, all I got to say is a big thank you. I just finished working 16 days straight. Yes, that's right. The life of a cocktail champagne bar manager is not all that glamorous.
Cocktail champagne bar manager?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Training camp.
Doing 90 hours a week is not fun. Your podcasts have been a lifesaver with my trip in and out of work for the last 2 weeks, well apart from when Fred is arguing about 0.1%. Will someone please switch his mic off when that happens again? Anyway, on to Menkins. What are your thoughts on maybe trying to trade Haynesworth from the Skins? Is that realistic? And I'm getting excited about Gronkowski and Hernandez. Do you think either of these two, or maybe both, can develop into an Antonio Gates-type tight end? What has been the best two tight end offense in recent years? And always, many thanks for the hard work. Keep it up.
Best two tight end offense? That's a great question.
Hmm. And he lost 50 pounds against the U.S. in the World Cup.
Oh. Not from weight. Nerve, from nerves?
Money.
Yeah, it took me a second to.
I know. It would be funnier if he did lose actually 50 pounds from.
Fred should bet on him.
That guy, McManaman, who was on before, the soccer guy from England, said right before the match, oh, easy 3-1 victory for England. Easy. Alexi Lalas, of course, says, oh, 2-1 U.S. And the impartial guy from the Netherlands said, 1-1 draw.
Right.
He was right.
Reason was right again.
I happen to see that, I don't know if it was the same guy, but one of those British color guys that they have in the studio with Chris Fowler,
yeah,
right after the U.S. game, was just completely torching the England coach.
Really?
You know, they
Capello.
They made no decision on goaltender. It was like that was the reason, because they didn't know who was going to play goal. Right. That was the reason why they went 1-1. It was unbelievable. It was like really Mark Capello.
The liberal behind the glass wants to know what you mean by color guy.
The color analyst. My God.
We may have just muddied the water, but what's the best two tight end offense?
I don't know.
Very interesting.
That the Patriots have ever had?
Well, no, Patriots about any offense.
I'm talking about anyone.
Anyone's offense.
See, we're raving about how good these two tight ends
could
be.
No, but I'm thinking in terms of two tight end offense probably means it's more of a run-based offense. Because I can't even think of a team that had two
very
legitimate,
good tight ends,
highly productive pass catching tight ends.
Gates and Manamano Aloala, wasn't he out there?
Brandon Manamaluna?
Yeah, he's not really been a.
He hasn't really been like
a massively productive. Yeah.
Well, I don't. You're not going to have two massively.
Who was
but
the
if you can have a contributor with touchdowns like Gronkowski could be? You know, 60 catches,
I mean,
for whatever.
Dallas was.
I was
going to
say
when
they had Novacek.
I was going to say.
But
who was the other one?
Moose Johnson.
He wasn't. He was a fullback. Right? Oh,
you
don't even know what you don't even know where the fullback lines up.
How about?
Ooh, good comeback
I'll tell you,
by him.
Washington Redskins with Joe Gibbs. That was a high powered offense.
He was
that
a coach
that had two tight ends. Clint Didier and Don Warren.
Oh, I wouldn't have known the other one.
But they ran. That was it. Was you know the counter tray and all that stuff with the hogs. I don't think they were necessarily highly productive because of all the passes the tight ends were catching. But Jason Witten and when Fasano was there,
yeah,
was there a time when Marv
Martellus
Cook
Bennett
and Ben
now,
Coates
but
were on the team at
really
the same time?
Who? I believe so.
Coates and Marv Cook.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah,
that,
but
his torch was kind of passed.
Yeah,
Coates didn't do much his first couple of years.
Yeah,
but it is a good question. I wonder if you know Gates has never really had. I don't think a guy that's caught – certainly Indy's never had anybody with Dallas Clark.
Sharp and Heap didn't overlap, did they, in Baltimore?
Yeah, I think they did. But
who's the other tight end in the Saints right now besides Shockey?
David Thomas.
No, I wouldn't put that.
But he's H-back
more
than tight end.
No, because he doesn't
end.
Play for the Patriots anymore.
so are you putting him up there? Okay,
no.
Thank you.
Look, well –
what do you mean by up there?
I got to be honest with you.
Super
the more
Bowl champion?
The
sure
reason I'm not putting him up there is more to do with Shockey than Thomas.
Yeah.
I think you have to at least have one guy who's elite, and I don't think Shockey is.
Shocking.
Mike says, I tuned into the show and to hear you guys arguing about Brady's contract situation again. If the Patriots win another Super Bowl with Brady at the helm, doesn't that just further enhance Brady's image, marketability, and potential for money from other sources? If he does another contract for the team and the Patriots win, then he wins too, no?
What?
I guess it does.
Yeah,
but
I didn't really understand.
I mean, that's, yeah, but
a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Speaking of marketable players, though, Andy and I had an idea out at practice for Randy Moss, who wants to get more involved in marketable opportunities and such at this point in his career. We think he should try to do what Shaq did with the TV show.
Moss playing, versus.
Moss versus, and have him try to play other people at their
sport. I like the idea.
Because I think he has the type of personality that will show on camera, you know, what we see him, the way he is on the field in the locker room. That people don't normally get because he only answers three questions whenever he's in front of a camera.
And he's looking to do more stuff. So.
Yeah, so if he did a show like that, and he'd be good because he's
a great athlete.
A more phenomenal athlete than Shaq.
He's a basketball player. He's a football player.
Yep.
We saw him punt the football today
better
probably,
than
David King ever did.
Be interesting to see him try to play soccer
One
or tennis or something.
Well, soccer, he'd be fine.
Play against Federer.
Tennis, I think,
you know?
Could be.
Or, you know, somebody like that.
I think tennis or golf he'd struggle because those are – really,
golf, probably.
The technical skills.
Didn't he suck at golf when we saw him hitting?
Yeah. He might have, but it would be funny to see him interact and do that kind of stuff.
To make it a good show, you can't really dominate at everything. You want to see him fail a little bit.
I think that's how he should start, Fred. He should start introducing himself again, reintroducing himself the way Shaq did with
Call
that
it
TV
hell
show.
On Randy Moss?
Yeah, sure. Something
you,
like that.
Can you have hell in a headline?
Heck, I'm Randy Moss.
Like
or
hell,
H,
better.
Or put the little, you know, the pound sign, the asterisk.
Yeah, what you always do.
Stuff. Yeah.
Sam,
yeah, because you're such a man, and you always write swears in your text.
Paul writes
Idiot.
That Taylor Price was in her.
It's not a swear.
No, but you're talking about sex.
Sure he wasn't talking about Taylor Swift? That really bothers me.
Good
Listen,
friend.
If these guys don't want me to quote them, then they shouldn't say these things.
Sam,
I want you to misquote them.
Sam in Chicago says, just wanted to let you know I was doing
in her.
Some PR for you. As a coworker of mine, didn't know what to get her husband for Father's Day. He's a Boston transplant like myself and an avid Pats fan. I quickly showed her
PFW
site where she ordered a subscription for her husband to enjoy.
Well done.
Way to go, girl.
Well, and happy Father's Day to all of you.
Guy.
You too, Eric, your father. You father some great portraits, I'm sure.
Okay.
ESPN got a quick turnaround on their foot. They were out there today, Fred, ESPN, and... Now I'm watching it on ESPN.
Yeah, that, all they cared about
Where
was
else
Wes.
Would I watch it?
All they cared about was Wes Welker.
Yeah.
Every question
Line
to every different guy
was about
was
that too. Yeah.
Wes Welker and what he needed to do. And
we should say a slight note from today's practice in terms of Wes Welker. He missed a ball that bounced in front of him, Fred.
Oh yeah, great
and while
note.
Running straight along,
forgot about that.
Kicked it with the left leg out of the air, the bad knee.
That's a good sign.
Like he didn't care. Like
yeah.
there was no thought.
Wasn't
like,
thinking about it. It's just reactionary.
Of course, he then immediately went, took his helmet off, and went in between the fields, never to practice again.
So negative. I'm trying to lift hopes.
What a Debbie Downer!
No, it was
popping the balloon with a big pin.
It was funny because all three of us saw it at the same time, and we all looked, and we all had the same exact reaction. Well, I guess there's no fear there with kicking the ball with his knee.
Okay. Let's see.
A lot of emails.
Yeah.
Maybe get some if I read them.
Okay. So, what's up, Tomash? He's just walked into the studio.
Owen from Belfast just wondering if Aaron Hernandez looks bigger live at minicamp than the listed 6'1", 250. I read in some draft profiles that Taylor Price has been unofficially timed at 4'2".
Yeah.
How fast does he actually look?
Not that fast.
No, it doesn't look that
fast. I know it's hard to get a good look at on outside linebackers, but how does Jermaine Cunningham look on the field athletically? Haven't heard Andy's thoughts on the Logan Mankin situation since he wasn't there on Tuesday. So a lot of stuff in there.
I'll give you my quick Mankin's thoughts. I think he's done as a Patriot. I don't think this is media posturing. I think he's an old-school, shoot-from-the-hip kind of guy, well-respected, not usually outspoken. And he's pissed off for whatever reason, rightly or not rightly, he's pissed off, and I'm not sure I really see a happy ending here in New England for him.
I think Hernandez does look a little bit bigger than that 6'1 listing, though.
Sure. I don't know.
I think he looks like a wide receiver. He looks so quick to me. I think he, the way he, especially over the middle, it seems like he darts in and out of traffic.
Mm-hmm. He's very athletic.
I think he's going to be... Interesting to see how the different ways that they try to use him, I think.
I thought that was overrated on some of the tape we watched from college, but the more I see him in person, the more I don't think it was overrated.
Fred, on Tuesday, this is Doug from Blackstone.
Dougie.
Remember him?
Is that a question?
He's a long time.
Yeah. He says, on Tuesday you were talking about new razors on the market and the whole shaving experience. You took it a little too far with the backroom knob job reference, but that's why we listen.
What does that mean?
Oh, you weren't here.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here.
We talked about old-style barbershops.
But I was happy a ending. Major bobblehead.
They had happy endings at barbershops?
Well, he's talking about
Fred was hoping that there would be.
Maybe one of those Russian bathhouses.
Was just men.
Look who's talking about.
Yeah.
I use the safety razor
Tom
by
Curran
Merker.
Says, mouth has no gender.
Basically the old-style double-edged razor that you open and
pretty
close
sure
by
wasn't
turning
looking
the
to have
handle.
That out there.
I use the brush and soap container, and overall it's a great shaving experience. You might want to consider it for the old-school effect. Makes shaving more enjoyable and less of a chore, even though it takes a few minutes more. Of course, I shave at night, and I have a frosty Sam Adams to add to the experience, but that's me.
So that's why his face is all cut up with.
He didn't say anything about his face.
He's like the guy on an airplane. He comes out with all the stuff all over him.
Now for the Mankins situation. Fred, he insulted your family, the Crafts, that is, and if you see him in the hallways, you have my permission to thrash him within an inch of his life.
No chance.
Use the fury that you had on draft weekend with the audio problems, and you'll be fine. I'm a Mankins fan, but from what I heard, he should watch that game that shall not be mentioned and realize that a turnstile should not be the highest paid guard in football. Just my opinion, but it sounds like the Patriots' offer was more than fair.
Yeah, he didn't shine that day. Nobody did.
Nobody did.
Nobody did, but he was certainly among the bigger
problems. He was one of the culprits. Yep.
Ben Babe Beck writes in. What's up? He says.
How many words was that?
Ben Babe Beck.
Three words.
Ben Babe
Beck. Babe Beck. Love your show. I listen to it as much as I can. I probably just said something really bad in a foreign language. I think one
you got some like Saudi Arabian guy coming after you.
I think one thing that could be improved upon is having a little bit more of an offensive powerhouse on the show. With the bigs like Brady Moss and company and a team defense almost being established, how's depth and how's your – what?
Now you're about to offend the guy.
You're going to screen these before you read them, Fred.
Yeah, this is
You know I don't speak idiot.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he does.
I tried Ben Babe Beck, but
it's
I couldn't
fluent,
do it.
Actually.
Couldn't do it.
Not gonna do it.
Yeah, not gonna do it.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
John from Lynn.
Oh, John in Lynn.
Pulling
I've
out,
transcended
going to Sharon.
My resentment of Logan Mankins and no longer wish vengeance on him. After an epiphany of Christian charity, I no longer wish that he live out his life fat, drunk, and unemployed, but hope that he enjoys a long and prosperous career with a fine team like Detroit or Buffalo for a high second rounder. Maybe that way he will never again screw up the hopes and dreams of millions of fans wishing for a Super Bowl win or, for that matter, the chance at a historic 72 Dolphins stifling undefeated season with 19-0 immortality. Dope. Now I'm upset again. I know it wasn't just him sucking that day, but to consider himself as the best guard in football, please. On second thought, he can go to hell, that Martha Faulkin Athol.
So wow. I just want to clarify. This is what we do with all pros who played in Super Bowl 42. Once they leave, we say it was their fault they lost. So Moss, he leaves after this season, he didn't show up for Super Bowl 42.
We already established the precedent for that.
With Samuel.
Yes.
Yeah. And now we have another All-Pro. There's only a couple more All-Pros from that team.
Tom Brady
and Randy Moss, who are, by the way, in the final year of their contracts, so they both screwed us that day,
too. Richard Seymour's not here anymore.
Matt Light.
Richard Seymour.
Didn't get the sack on Manning at the end
there. Wait until Matt Light comes up.
Jarvis Green, not a Pro Bowler, but
as I recall, Moss and Brady scored that touch. They did what they had to do.
They did do what they had to do.
That's right.
They scored 27 points below their season average.
I try to be forgiving, but suffer from early onset of Irish Alzheimer's, an unofficial condition where
it's
you forget
drinking.
Everything but the resentments. It's hereditary. I actually have older relatives that still don't talk to one another, even though they've forgotten why. So don't go to
Andy
Ireland.
That sounds like Andy. Right. Jared Puffer in the PR department.
Don't go
went
to,
a full year without talking to him.
Don't go to Ireland, Andy. I can't remember why, but don't go.
Why? It looks green and nice and... cool.
Good, Paul, on your comparison of post-injury Brady to Carson Palmer. Without looking it up and not remembering, I assume he had a bad year in his comeback. While there were other factors to the Bengals' 8-8 season, Palmer had a statistically sound year, but like 09 Brady was missing something. Super Bowl MVP Brady would check down through four jag targets before nailing Givens in the end zone, dodging attackers with slight movements before being hammered into the turf. 09 Brady seemed to lack the finishing touch. Maybe it's the other factors or a good thing that he not be so pummeled. Palmer was also injured in the 05 playoffs, so had much less rehab time for 06. Do you guys think that Palmer recovery bodes well for future Brady?
I think you could go either way on that one. I don't think Palmer has ever really been the same.
And he developed
elbow issues that some believed were
as a result of that.
Some technique or altering of his mechanics.
Yeah, I pointed out on Tuesday, Andy, something that we've talked about a lot, and that Palmer, a lot of people just have made that, you know, he stunk. He came back too quick. He threw for 4,000 yards. He completed about 63% of his passes. He threw 28, I think, touchdowns. 13 picks, had like a 94 rating, almost identical to Brady's numbers last year.
Right. I actually knew that because one time somebody said something. I went to look it up, and I tried to find the bad year, and I'm like,
he didn't have one.
Where's the bad year in here?
And John is right in that.
That's a rip
shot.
Yeah.
He didn't. Statistically, they both played very well statistically, but something was missing.
By the way, Mexico just scored over France.
I'm rooting for Mexico.
Oh, I missed it. I turned away for 1 second. I missed the goal.
Is that okay?
Sure, you're not rooting for the U.S. You might as well have some team to root for.
It's on our continent.
Okay, that's not why.
There's enough of them in this country, legally or not, that they can kind of...
Oh, you're going to get the liberal producer all enraged behind the
He's
glass
not listening.
There. Oh, he wasn't paying attention, huh? And he was making an inappropriate joke at your expense.
If you're with the ball, you can't be offside.
Yeah, but the ball's not there. He just runs.
It looked like that was offside. It they didn't does. Call that?
You can go as soon as the ball is kicked.
So the ball doesn't have to be the first thing in? Okay.
You have to wait until the ball's kicked, before you can make your...
It's like doing a radio show with a child.
What is doing a radio show
with a teenager? Because a small child wouldn't know that.
TG and NJ, guys, 18
I got
games.
The beans above the Franks.
An adolescent at best.
18 games, yes or no? Pros and cons, please. Personally, I don't like it.
No.
Things are fine as they are.
Yes.
They are only bringing it up for monetary reasons.
Correct.
There is nothing there with the player's welfare in mind. Got to say, after reading Brady's comments on the matter on the NFLPA website, I'm starting to get the idea that his interest in football has changed.
Of course it has.
You know what's funny? I thought about that as I read those quotes. A guy who talked so much about the passion, you would think would love the idea of playing two more games that he can play 60 minutes.
Yeah. That sounded like a very contrived quote by somebody
who was hoping
to craft a particular message for him, not necessarily words that spontaneously came out of his mouth.
And that's where I would go on your side, Freddie, with the he's kind of doing things maybe for others with this union part. I think that's the union line right now.
Maybe it's a guy who suffered a major injury and looks at things differently now.
Realized
that it's fragile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
your existence on an NFL field is fragile.
Another good point. But I think that on the 18 game, look, if it means only two preseason games, I'm for it.
From a fan perspective, from a media perspective, I love it. But from a player
perspective,
change
it for us.
From a player perspective,
we have to go to Paul.
Yeah, we do, but
it's true.
And you, by the way.
But Paul, if the
we
player,
also would rather cover regular season games than preseason
sure,
games.
Right. They're always better when they count.
It does change it for us.
But
it makes
Paul,
it better.
But from a player's perspective, if it means that they can now bargain for better health care, that's a good thing.
That they'll need because there's
more
injuries.
Well,
what?
I don't know if two extra games a year means that much of a difference.
I say they cut out the two preseason games and stick with the 16-game format.
Sure. Have a couple scrimmages and camp.
Is that what they're saying, too?
They're going to say play two preseason games and add two to the regular season.
Because they're not going to give up the money, the concessions.
Yeah. And I'll go with the owners there, too. I mean, that they have a very limited amount of games to make money, and you don't want to give them up.
You know. So, I hope they do it, and I hope the players get something for it. I think that's fair. You know?
And it really, I mean, it makes a difference. And people will say in the extra two games the first couple years, you know, you wouldn't have gotten hurt under the old schedule. And then it'll just be the way it is. You play 18 games. It'll become reality.
I just think it's just like everything. I mean, from a fan perspective, I think it's fine. It's great. I already think they play too many games.
But I think
you know by December who the good teams are. Yeah. And I just assume start the
playoffs. I also read.
That's never going to happen.
I also read recently that some study, I don't remember exactly who did it, but that more injuries in the NFL take place early in the season than at the end of it.
Probably.
So the whole argument
I think
that
you're increasing the chances of that now by only playing two preseason games.
Yeah, possibly.
And I think some
but
of these guys
are
going to be
less
prepared.
But I think people were making the argument that the fact that we're playing more games means we're going to get more injured at the end of the season, whereas it seems like that would be the case at the beginning
of the season. But I think that's true. I think that the longer the season goes, the more injuries you're apt to have. I just think that's common sense.
I also, it's
just
a minor
what the study shows.
It's a minor thing in football, but the stats. Once again, you get the 2,000-yard season in a 14-game season, the 2,000-yard season in a 16-game season.
Well, that's
the 2000.
True. It does change.
And it's not like baseball where the
numbers
great
aren't,
numbers,
yeah.
but it still changes it.
You know, people that lived through Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, well, now 50 touchdowns in 18 is different. And
oh, it's true.
It cheapens it a little bit.
Sean writes in, I just wanted to call out Paul and Eric for the discussion of Brandon Albert, left tackle of the Kansas City Chiefs, last show. Albert was not a top five pick. That was Glenn Dorsey. Albert went in the middle of the first round. Also, Albert is still playing left tackle for the Chiefs, not guard.
Okay,
I know you work for the Patriots, but come on.
My point was you're not going to pay a first-round pick and then pay another guy first-round money.
Right.
When you don't really need that at that position. That's right. The only point. And if he's not playing guard at all, I had read a story that he was.
They're trying to make him a guard. They don't want him as their tackle.
I had read something. Matter of fact, he was a guard in college, generally. I think I read it on Pro Football Talk.
You don't bark as a puppy. You don't bark as a
And he was a guard in college because he couldn't beat out the guy who was the better tackle who ended up getting drafted
Monroe,
a year later.
Right?
Which is what we all talked about.
Bill Berry writes in, Paul's favorite emailer. It's an emailer second class at home because you guys are there so late. Dear Fat Man, Bald Man, Fat and Bald Man, and Big Head. First for Eric, I listened to...
I got to say, Big Head wins there. That's the kindest of those.
I listened to an NPR broadcast, podcast, Radiolab, though I think mentioning your competition is a no-no. That's a faux pas for Eric.
We're competing with the NPR?
They had two guests on
with
the rare condition of facial blindness. One was a portrait artist who needed to take photographs and break up the face on a grid to be able to see parts of a face as curves and stuff. One coping mechanism he used is seeing everything in 2D. Have you tried closing one eye?
Is this real?
What?
Yes. Are you really a facial blind?
No.
I don't know. I doubt you are as bad as him. You recognize Paul after he goes to the bathroom and don't wonder who let a fat bald guy into the studio. You may have a milder version of his facial blindness thing.
I enjoy his emails.
I don't always get them, but I enjoy them.
Never get them.
Odd to football.
He's far too intelligent for me.
Odd to football
I don't
specifically.
Know if that's
or.
He's very deep.
For the Game Time
He's
Entertainment guy, those soccer horns, can we get Dunkin' Donuts
or somebody
in stadium to call them defense horns or mayo horns and give them away with a purchase? Then when fans make an annoying racket when the defense is on the field, it was McDonald's or somebody, not you. Sorry, Mr. Polian, we looked into piping that in, but McDonald's made it irrelevant. That's Bill Berry's...
I'm a fan of the Vuvuzela.
I'm not.
I like it a lot.
Oh, the God.
Makes it very...
Oh, the God.
Makes it very unique to South Africa.
It sounds like the Indy 500.
Yeah. I was out sick yesterday, so I was watching a lot of soccer. It's not that annoying.
No,
it's
not
overreacting.
At all. How many soccer games have you ever seen where there's some sort of like air horn or noisy thing going on in the stadium? This is just a different sounding one. It sounds like a little swarm of bees.
No,
big
it's
deal.
So, it's so
Suck
constant.
It up.
It's like water dripping on your head. It's the,
yeah, but you would get used to it after a while.
No, you don't get used to it.
This is it's a month long tournament. They're going to get used
you
to
get
it.
White
noise.
What
it's
what
background.
Get.
It's just
all
the,
right.
It's yeah, exactly.
That's
like those annoying
thunderstorms.
We got 3 minutes to go, Fred.
No, we don't. You know,
yeah, I got daycare.
We actually ended
a
show talking about soccer. That's a first. All right, we'll be back next week. See you next Tuesday.
VFW in progress. Not your run-of-the-mill talk show.
Look, I'm not sure this place is working. The drinkers are smoking, the smokers are drinking, and the gamblers are having sex with everything that moves.
Patriots.com Radio.